combat afternoon SABC led by the board chairperson, Dr. Ngubane, and the acting CEO, other board members and other executive members of the SABC, media, PMG, operators who are here operating within the space of broadcasting, DOC, the ministry, led by the Deputy Minister, Honorable Obed Barbera. We are honored again that you are here as you were in the morning and so on. And everyone who's here, we are going to start, but we are starting at a very difficult footing. There has been some requests and other things which has been coming. We've been trying to consult the rules of parliament and the procedures, legalities, and all those sorts of things, which seems to also consume our time or interfere with our starting time and so on. But the long and short of it is that there are requests from DEF-SA that they requested that they wanted to show their placards before we start the meeting to raise their issues with SABC, because they feel that they've been raising issues but no one cares in the SABC. I'm sure by now we are familiar with the issues for the deaf people. What are those issues which they are raising? Being guided by the rules, is also difficult to allow them to do that, because the rules seem to be saying something else, and then my hands are also too tight to use any discretion to move out of the rules and so on. But I must say that our inability, or my inability to use any discretion, is informed by the rules of parliament, that it can happen because that is seen as a disruption to the meeting. When that's happened, you might have to call security to come and remove people, which is not desirable, that you can do. So all what we can appeal from DEF-SA is that we will talk to SABC. They are here. But if DEF-SA will be pressed in terms of time, maybe they must indicate to us what time they intend to leave. We'll request for SABC that you get a delegation from your team. They meet DEF-SA. Whether as we're proceeding with the meeting, because I know I try to say after the meeting, but they are indicating the issue of time. So if you can get a delegation, whether parallel with the meeting, where you meet them, they are able to give you their concern and everything else as they want to do that. So that we also offer them the opportunity that they can talk to you as a BC. Here we are confined by the rules. There's nothing much we can do except to stick to the business of the day and so on. So if that is acceptable, I'll request that the committee section does indicate who to speak to so that arrangement is done. We can be happy that if maybe we finish the meeting, you can tell us what was the decision of your meeting with the DEF-SA, so that it becomes part of our conclusions of the committee meeting which we are at. So that will be my request. That's why I'm saying we're starting in another form today. I'm told that the venue for your meeting, at whatever time you agree, will be, if you go straight down, up or down, or this way, if you go from the corridor going down, there is V454. V75, V475, then you can have the meeting there. I'm told that the committee room is not occupied. There are no people there. You can have that meeting. I hope by the time we finish, or before we finish, you have been finished so that you can be presented about how SAPC intend to tackle the problems or the challenges with the FSA will be raising with them and so on.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Tsaudi Motsone, who is the head of stakeholder relations for the board, will meet with the FSA.
Thank you, Chair. But whoever you send must have the necessary authority to engage, not to further consult in some of the issues. But it's fine.
Well, he represents the board at this meeting. Thank you.
No, thanks very much, Chairperson. I'm sure they hear you also. So that meeting must run at the site so that we can get the report before finish in terms of how are you taking forward their issues. I'm on record saying that I think this time we need to act on these issues which they are raising. Since I've arrived here, they've been raising one of the same issues. And nothing has been happening. So it's one of our priorities to make sure that indeed they become part of the mainstream of news and receiving information like anyone else and so on. But thanks very much, Chairperson. Members, we are here for the strategic plan and budget of SAPC. But before I start, I must bow my head and congratulate SAPC on the latest survey, which was commissioned by IEC on the HOTAS participating survey for 2010-2011. When it comes to the issue of the public trust, which is institution, the public trust, it has come up that we are number two. Of course, churches are number one at 77%. But SAPC, you are number two at 74%. What it means, with all the challenges we are facing on day-to-day engaging and trying to resolve issues, but this clearly demonstrates that the public out there, their only hope and trust in terms of sourcing information is SAPC. And we must not dare fail them, because that's the only institution which they are able to solve their news and so on. But congratulations for that. I won't go down in terms of the survey because there's a point where it talks about parliament and political parties. So we need to engage in this meeting with a moral high ground. So if I go down to the others, you might end up gaining a moral high ground. So we are fine there at number two. Congratulations. I'll stop there. I don't go down to the other outcome of the other institution. But on a serious note, thanks very much. We feel honored as a committee that you continue to catch the mind and the hearts of our public, despite all the challenges which you are having. Without further ado, members, I know that the Deputy Minister will be leaving us around our first three or so. So when you see him disappearing, it has no disrespect for SAPC. It says that he'll be leaving around our first three and so on. But without wasting any time, Chairperson, I'll hand over to you to introduce your team, and then you start to take us through. But before we do that, there's another issue which I must raise, which there is little we can do it now. I've received an affidavit from one of your former employees alleging and indicating that they've been trying to engage the board on a number of issues, and the board seems to have not been able to act on those issues that has been raised and so on. Now, I received that affidavit, that document, but they have not yet circulated to the committee members. I have not yet also went through it to get the substance of the issues. It's a matter which I'm just raising so that you know. But I think we'll take the course of action as a committee when we are satisfied about the content and everything of that affidavit. Then we'll be able to decide what course of action which needs to be taken around that particular matter. I've said we are starting at the wrong foot, but let's go to the agenda for today, the strategic plan and budget. But I'm highlighting that so that you know, that we'll communicate with the with your office in terms of how to handle that matter moving forward, and also the shareholder. Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Communications, Honorable Deputy Minister for the Department of Communications, Honorable Members of the Portfolio on Communications, colleagues from DOC, colleagues from the National Treasury, the people attending this session, I'd like to thank you, sir, and your committee for affording us the opportunity to present our strategic plan for the financial years 2011 to 2014. On my right is Mr. Justice Ndaba, who is the acting group executive for Human Capital Services. And on my left is the acting CEO, Mr. Robbie Nicholson, followed by Mr. Lerato Nake, who is the acting CFO, Mr. Cedric Gina, the head of our turnaround strategy, Ms. Claire O'Neill, the head of the board subcommittee for the public broadcasting services and public commercial services, Ms. Professor Pippa Green, the member of the news committee, Mr. Harris, the head of the risk committee of the board, Ms. Suzanne Foss, member of the news committee, Ms. Yvonne Johnston, our marketing and brand management officer, Mr. Phil Malefe, who is the head of news, and his Siviwe, who works with him in news, our company secretary, Ms. Selma Melk, Ms. Bongi Shibambo, the deputy company secretary. Chairperson, we have made steady progress in drafting our strategic plan for 2011 to 2014, working very closely with management at SABC. In fact, I would dare say that this relationship between management and the board is probably strongest in the last 5 years. We worked on divisional performance targets for 2010-2011. These were established together by the board and the executive management. These targets were focused on development and implementation of a turnaround strategy, as well as meeting the four business frameworks that have guided us in developing the strategic plan, namely addressing the Auditor General of South Africa report and capacity crisis in the SABC, the issues of governance and finance, our operations, and the SABC stakeholders. We have concluded the first phase. We have concluded the first phase of our turnaround strategy. We have concluded the first phase of our turnaround. that when I finish. We have concluded the first phase of our turnaround strategy. This has focused on the stabilization of the corporation and keeping the corporation as a going concern. I think we have succeeded in this effort. The 2011 to 2014 will be about stabilization and sustainability processes and policies for the SAPC, particularly the rebuilding and realignment of our operational business models so that we have a more efficient and more effective organization that will deal with all types of contingencies, financial crises, in such a way that we can never be overwhelmed by the debt that visited the SAPC almost 5 years ago. We are dealing with these issues, and we are going to share in the presentation. However, I would like to my colleague here to present with us an overview.
Thank you. languages with simulcast on radio. The broadcast of the emotional opening ceremony and match between South Africa and Mexico on SABC1 broke the record for the highest viewership ever recorded for a TV station worldwide, surpassing the SABC's self-set target of 73% television audience share, reaching a new South African record of 75.85% share of television viewers. The SABC, which boasts over 22 million viewers and listeners daily, was perfectly positioned to bring the 2010 FIFA World Cup hype and excitement to every corner of the country. As part of the National Public Broadcaster's mandate to ensure universal access to the 2010 FIFA World Cup, particularly in the rural communities, the SABC partnered with government and local municipalities and the Department of Arts and Culture in activating the public viewing areas across the country. The SABC was responsible for providing a signal to the 10 fan fests in the 9 host cities. The National Public Service Broadcaster invested in state-of-the-art broadcasting technology, first and foremost of which was the world-class broadcast center in Sandton. In keeping with the state-of-the-art broadcasting technology and set, the SABC secured a fusion of local, African, and international sports presenters and analysts to ensure that viewers and listeners were informed at all times. The SABC's marketing campaign, Feel It, It Is Here, was aimed to mobilize all South Africans to rally behind Bafana Bafana, to be patriotic, and to fly the national flag and sing the South African national anthem. The campaign went viral and quickly became the catchphrase that dominated every sphere of South African life during the tournament. From churches to schools, government institutions to civil societies, the campaign no longer belonged to the SABC, but to all South Africans. Throughout the last fiscal, the SABC television channels celebrated South African diversity, creating an emotional bond with its viewers through content distinctiveness and differentiation. The National Public Service Broadcasters Television Network delivered 59% share for the 2010-2011 fiscal. SABC One, the National Public Service Broadcasters flagship channel and the home of Soccer, was able to deliver a world-class 2010 FIFA World Cup product, with some Bafana Bafana game delivering in excess of 70% audience share. Some of SABC One's main audience drivers included Generation, Intersection, the Xhosa Zulu News, Zone 14, Harambe Documentaries, the Siswati Ndebele News, and the Bold and the Beautiful, affirming the channel's proposition as Mzansi's official storyteller. SABC One collected the most awards at the 2010 SAFTA Awards. The popular drama Home Affairs received an Emmy Awards nomination for the second year running. UTV was announced the coolest local children's brand by the Sunday Times Generation X annual survey. SABC One also embraced opportunities in the digital and social media space to interact with its audiences through the myriad of platforms such as Twitter and Facebook. SABC 2, positioned as the station for the nation, explored universal family values and SA's diverse cultural history with programs such as Mubako, Mubako, Yevendelad, Speak Out, Afro Cafe, and Nerd for Nerd, the Afrikaanse Nis, Morning Live, 50-50, and Quatella with some of the other main audience drivers. The second season of SA's Got Talent offered a platform for undiscovered South African talent. SABC2 carried events of national importance, such as the State of the Nation Address, the Budget Speech, and 150 years since the arrival of South Africans of Indian origin. SABC2 will play a pivotal role in bringing the upcoming local government elections to all South Africans. SABC2 walked away with 4 awards at the ProMax and BDA Awards. SABC 3, focused on mainstream television entertainment and escapist programming. The channel provided a mixture of local and international programming ranging from drama, sitcoms, variety, documentaries, sport and news. Key audience drivers included Days of Our Lives, Ipi Pigo, Survivor and Knight Rider, The Oprah Winfrey Show and Top Billing. The search for a new presenter for Top Billing created huge interest. SABC Radio ended off the fiscal with a 66.9% share, retaining its position. SABC Radio consolidated all its efforts to galvanize the people of South Africa to support the 2010 FIFA World Cup. Radio and television successfully implemented a transversal strategy to ensure access to the broadcast of all the games to South Africans. The other key programming initiative other than soccer-related programming was the introduction of 100% African music across all PBS radio stations, including Lotus FM. During the 2010 FIFA World Cup, PBS radio stations played an average of 85% South African music against the 40% stipulated by ICASA. The SABC's 15 PBS radio stations delivered in excess of 20,000 hours of nation-building and social cohesion-themed programming through FM, AM, and web streaming in all 11 languages, as well as Urdu, Tamil, Gujarati, and Hindi on Lotus FM. PBS radio audience share grew by 0.9% year-on-year at 9.5%, well above the 8% target for the year. Metro FM broke through the 5.5 million listener mark, while Good Old FM exceeded the 600,000 mark for the first time since 2008. Side FM remained firmly above the 2 million weekly listener mark. SABC radio station once again proved to be the most listened to radio station in the country by scooping 8 out of the top 10 favorite radio station positions nationally. According to the latest radio listenership figures, RAM, Ukhozi raked in more than 6 million listeners in a week. Umhlobo Wenene FM came in second with just over 4 million listeners a week. Also making the top 10 list is Lesedi FM, Metro FM, Mutwedin FM, Tobela FM, RSG, and 5 FM. Providing viewers and listeners with regular, reliable news and information is one of the SABC's most important duties. Audiences identified the SABC as the primary and most credible source of news for the nation. The SABC is well positioned to deliver reports of the upcoming local government elections, together with voter education programs to all the people of South Africa in the language of their choice. With news as the pillar of the SABC's public service broadcasting mandate, the organization intends to launch a 24-hour news channel on satellite that will tell African and international stories from an African perspective. The 24-hour news channel will be launched in April 2011 and will also be made available on DTT. As the national public broadcaster, the SABC will remain the catalyst for positive social action, assisting in transforming society through the content that it provides, reflecting the true image of our country, its people, its dreams, and aspirations.
Chairperson, thank you for listening and viewing this tape, which we hope summarizes all the different aspects of the SABC's contribution to the national life of this country, truly informing, educating, and entertaining the people of South Africa, and showcasing our cultural diversity, our multilingualism, and of course, our collective South Africanism. Although challenging, the past fiscal has seen the enterprise attain major achievements for the SABC. This has been in the form of board stability. We approved the corporate calendar as a board, and we have approved the corporate plan. We have commenced with recruitment procedures for executives, for the new GCEO, for internal audit, for human capital services, for commercial enterprises, and head of marketing. In terms of governance, we have put risk policies in place and reviewed previous policies. We have developed high-level compliance with the government guarantee requirements, and we have given a strong response to the Attorney General of South Africa report relating to misgovernance and capacity issues at the SABC. The corporate plan and performance contracts for executives complying with government requirements in terms of policies have all been signed. The audit of performance has commenced. The SABC annual report, financial year 2009-10, was completed and submitted on time with no audit qualifications. The corporate plan for the fiscal year 11-14 has been completed according to the Auditor General specifications and submitted on time. The shareholder compact for fiscal 10 and 11 has been completed and submitted to the DOC. With respect to financial issues, in terms of revenue, we have grown revenue by 1.2 billion over the past 3 years, translating to 26% growth. With regard to the expenses, these have increased by 506 million over the past 3 years, translating to a 9% increase. The percentage expense increase is, however, significantly lower compared to the percentage growth in revenue. Our cash position for the past 3 years and cash and cash equivalents have increased by 624 million for the past 3 years, translating to 4,249%. This graph, I ask you to focus on it because it carries a huge message. In 2009, the loss, the hemorrhaging, financial hemorrhaging at the SABC was almost a billion. It was 973 or something million. We have managed to reduce this loss in the 2009-10 fiscal to 486 million rand. And in fiscal 2010-2011, we are going to reduce it further to 204 million rand. And then in the coming years, coming fiscals, we are steadily going to increase it into a profit margin that is respectable of 12 million. This profit could be much better if certain things are done. For instance, we have had to spend 17 million of our revenue sources on voter education. We believe this is a national imperative. It shouldn't be the money that should be used to buy new content and to improve our programming that is used for the national voter effort. If the 600 million or so rand for new infrastructure for the DTC migration is provided by the state, we should not drain our coffers in order to fund this migration. If we're going to be supported in our turnaround strategy through appropriate funding, so that we can have voluntary severance packages, so that we can actually buy pensions for people who have to retire as we restructure the organization, we should see a much better profit margin other than 12 billion in fiscal 2014. Thank you. The strategic goals in our turnaround have been to a large extent achieved, as I've said. We have stabilized the organization. We are progressively stopping the hemorrhage. We have approved our turnaround strategy as a board in consultation with management, in consultation with our unions, and I think this has been a very significant development for the SAPC. We have improved the financial position of the enterprise. The plan of action established to address the recommendations contained in the Attorney General's report has to a very large extent addressed most of the issues. Some of the issues in that report are so heavy and criminal related that the Special Investigation Unit was asked to look at these cases. They've given us reports, they've updated us, they're making huge progress in terms of either litigation or recovery of the lost monies. The board has adopted a set of corporate pillars that informs the SAPC's strategic focus areas and operational plans. We have revised our operating model and structure and developed all the necessary processes, and these have been approved by the board. Our performance contracts, as I've said, have been signed with all executives for the fiscal 2011-2012. Full risk management policies and strategies have been completed. More stable labor relations with good communication channels have been established. Digital media division has been established. DTT infrastructure rollout has been approved. And as I say, we are waiting for the MTEF allocations for this infrastructure. Increased coverage to SAPC services through activation of low power transmitters, as was explained in the video, have been done. Some of these areas have recently benefited from this mandated SAPC project, and we have said that it includes Philippolis and Villiers in the Free State, the Indemak in the Limpopo province, and Senadendale in the Western Cape. With regard to stakeholders, we believe that SAPC as a public broadcaster cannot go far unless it's engaged very closely and cooperatively with all stakeholders. So we've conducted briefings to all political parties on the local government elections, and I think we are at idem with the political parties in terms of what needs to be done, what protocols to follow, what norms to observe. Our consultation with the Minister of Sport and Recreation and the Portfolio Committee on Sport has established a very nice working relationship and engagement with the sporting bodies. We are hoping that through the Portfolio Committee on Sport and Recreation, we might get back onto the free-to-air television program, Rugby, which has been missing on this medium because it has been appropriated by the subscription television stations. So this is a major objective, and we are working with the Minister of Sport to achieve it for the people of South Africa and for the unity of this country. We have stabilized our commercial relationships. Our international content supplier relationships have also been stabilized. Beginning of this year, the acting GCO and the company secretary, who is a lawyer by profession, went overseas to meet all the major suppliers of international content who are owed millions of rands. They managed to get agreement from them that we shall be able to purchase new content and continue meeting our obligations towards them. We need new content if we're going to increase our audiences, if we're going to excite people about the SAPC. And these sets of eyes on our television screen bring in lots of advertising revenue. So it's an absolutely important part of the turnaround strategy of the SAPC. We have improved our acquisition of local content. The relationships with the independent producers has improved. We are recommissioning some of this content at a cost of 800 million rand. We are releasing a new RFP book, which is now being finalized and is fully funded. The residual payments to artists are being finalized through the different agencies. Residual payments to RISA, to NOM, and SARL have been agreed, and they're pending final arbitration. We can therefore talk of broadcasting successes, which includes the FIFA Soccer World Cup. We can boast about delivery on language and local content, and as the chairperson congratulated us on the credibility that we have re-established for the SAPC. And I think mainly it is because of the delivery on language and local content that the people of this country believe that they have a very strong partner in the SAPC. The celebration of 150 years of the arrival of Indians to South Africa has also been a great success. I mean, the collectiveness of this celebration established that our compatriots of Indian origin are now truly South African. The issue of having come from India is merely a historical one. India-South Africa relationships are very strong. We saw that through the cricket tournament. We were very happy to see our teams doing well at the Cricket World Cup, and we brought this to our audiences. We have now commenced coverage of local government elections, working very closely with the IEC and political parties. We have finished all the preparations of the relaunch of our digital media platform, which again will be a milestone in driving migration from analog to digital in this country. And of course, we've been an award-winning broadcaster, collecting the most awards of the 2010 SAFTA Awards, as well as receiving a number of international awards. Well, there's a lot of detail about SABC programming, delivering on development and state objectives. Minister Patel delivered a seminal policy document on the growth path for this country. This has never been done before. It's opening up new excitement and new thinking. Even university students are excited by this policy because it contains something for everyone. This policy is going to drive economic, social policy, and public service delivery for this country. We are supporting this policy directive through social programs, showcasing social agendas facing our society. Examples are Kumbule Kaya, News and Current Affairs, Shift, One Day Leader, Special Assignments. We are creating economic growth and through jobs, helping education, helping skills acquisition. And in terms of television, we're flighting programs such as Hip to Be Square, Hispani, Matrix Uploaded, Excel. We are reducing poverty levels through educational programs, focused on public, formal, and early childhood development using programming such as Living Land, Mother of All Professions, Shift, Make Your Move, La Familia, public service announcements. And of course, we are spurring rural development and reform through programs such as Elita Letu, the Forden, La Familia, Moferefere, Lenyalong, Walala Wasala, public service announcements. And we are improving the health effort of this country, driving awareness of health issues beyond HIV/AIDS. We are focused on both prevention, cure, and management, as well as prompting healthy lifestyles. We do this through programming such as Shifts, Teen Convictions, Soul City, addictions, CHISA, and sports programming. We're improving the education sector by providing support for educational efforts through our broadcasts using metrics uploaded Open University in text. And we're helping the fighting of crime through creating a new anti-crime culture. The streets of Mangaung, Sokulu and Partners, Solving It, 90 Plain Street, Democracy Game Shop, public service announcements, all go to creating a new awareness of crime and therefore creating a society that is self-respecting, that does not tolerate crime and corruption, a society that focuses on protecting its young ones from unwelcome influences. This is your SABC chairperson. We are going to work with you to bring even more success, more progress. I will ask my colleague here, to deal with the financial over. Thank you, Chairman. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Ben. Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, members of the committee. Thanks, Chairperson. What we're going to be presenting as the SABC is our financial overview for the past financial year of 2011, 31st March, and the next coming 36 months. We will start with the 31st of March 2011 numbers. We are projecting a net loss of 204 million. Versus the government guarantee of 228 million target that was set. This represents a significant improvement from the year of 2008-2009 when we made a loss of 910 million. As we are projecting a loss of 204 million versus the government guarantee target of 228 million, we would like to bring to the attention of the committee items that were excluded and incorrectly calculated when the government guarantee targets were put together. This is to illustrate that at an operational level, we are beating the government guarantee numbers by 104 million. When these items were put together, one of them were the revenue numbers relating to the sponsorship. The target was set based on the Soccer World Cup performance continuing to be maintained, and the error of the target was 35 million. The assumed increase in TV licenses to the value of 34 million, that was before the draft PSB bill came into effect. All of these items that have been mentioned are included in the government guarantee numbers, however in our financial performance they are not. Also that were excluded are the defined benefit plans. As we know at the SABC, we have post-retirement medical aid liability and we have the pension fund. The post-retirement medical aid number is 49 million, with a positive gain of the pension fund of 19 million. Chairperson, this represents a 400 million and improved performance by the SABC for this past fiscal year that has just passed. As we project further for the next coming 36 months, we are also having this challenge of trying to compare the targets that were set of a profit of 228 million with a recalculated profit of the SABC of 12 million. When we calculate these items, for the sponsorship, the double increase of 70 million is included in the government guarantee target, which is not included in our target. The TV licenses of 69 million is also still included because we haven't finalized the draft PSB bill. The impact of the medical aid liability and the pension fund. And that's why we are funding the local election government to the tune of 17 million. This number was not included in the government guarantee when they were computed in 2009. This represents the true financial performance of the SABC lacking the government guarantee target of 228 million by 11.8. What this means is that we as the corporation, we are performing well against our financial targets being set and prove that the benefits of the turnaround that the board instituted in November 2010 are beginning to bear fruit and will continue to bear fruit. We have also gone further to do a recon to show that the numbers that were computed and the financial targets that we at SABC have computed show that there is a misalignment. The numbers that were computed by our division in advertising revenue shows that there are challenges around advertising revenue, particularly around digital media, that the SABC is not in that space, the impending or the challenges being posed by the internet, and also around the TV licenses, the assumed increase that was included, that is not included in our numbers. As we move forward to the expenses, we are beginning to demonstrate to the committee and the public that the benefit of the turnaround work that is included in the employee cost resulted in us going to realize a potential saving of 122 million. And as the business is engaged in turnaround and moves to digital media, the business has made certain requests, and those result in 108 million. Moving further, Chairperson, to the financial forecast of the SABC, we prepared the projected 36-month cash flow that is driven by a number of scenarios. The first scenario is cash flow's balance excluding the restricted cash, cash loan after loan and risk, the base cash flow's balance less turnaround benefits, the cash balance after the loan, cash balance after loan risk, and the DTT infrastructure. Before you, what has been illustrated is that when we do not engage in the work of the turnaround, the corporation will have a negative cash outflow of 1.8 billion. The cost of rolling out the infrastructure for DTT is 692 million. And when we begin to look at the interest charges relating to the loan, you can see that in 2013-14, we are making a cash positive balance of 201 million. And if we continue with the work of the turnaround and include the risks that are befalling us and the challenges that are there, one of the risks that we are facing is the impending alcohol ban that will realize in SABC losing a potential revenue of 400 million per annum. And that results in a positive cash flow for us of 14 million. You can move, Justice. You can move. We have used certain assumptions to compile our cash flow for the next 36 months. When it comes to revenue, we assumed a 7% increase year-on-year growth that is consistent with the market expectations. When we move down to cost, you begin to see that employee costs are only growing by 7% to 8%, and that translates to CPIX or inflation plus 1.5%. This signifies the impact of the turnaround work that the board is currently busy with through human capital management services of containing costs and make sure that the business is properly realigned and properly right-sized. And as we also move down to some of our attention, if you look at the loan repayments for the net bank loan for the 1 billion, we are demonstrating as a business that we have the ability to service our debt and meet our obligations. And also some of the assumptions that are included there is that currently the net bank loan that we are financing is being financed at 1.8% above Johannesburg Bank interbank rate. And if we compare this rate that we have in the net bank loan with the current interest rate that we have on our facilities for the OB vents, you can see that from different financiers, when we acquired this OB vents in 2009, almost the same time when the government guarantee was given, we were offered fixed rate of 10% and 9.8% and the floating rate on some of our OB vents of 7% and 6%. These rates have come down to 5.65% for both the OB vents. And yeah, what we are presenting as well is the free cash flow analysis for the 2012 budget. What this is illustrating is that after we've paid the net bank loan, we have paid the debt relating to the finance leases for the OB vents. We have also spent the cash we have at hand for the DTT project relating to layout center, digital library, on the digital media. We are left with a casualty bank balance of 51 million. When we exclude those items, including the 408 million of the capital expenditure, we are projecting a closing cash balance of 626. Now, if we pause there a bit, what this slide depicts before us is that we as the SABC Corporation, we are compelled to spend our normal working cash flow to finance our capital expenditure. And that has the potential of placing a huge financial strain in our business. We have made an MTEF submission to the National Treasury that was not honored, and we would like to ask that in order for us to continue to be sustainable and make sure that we retain our liquidity level and we are cash flush, we need to be funded to the value of that CAPEX. This illustrates how we're going to be funding our cash flow. We as a business, we have determined a safety cash level of 300 million. Why that level? We have done an analysis where we said, as the corporation to continue meeting our obligation and paying our creditors, we need 300 million to be cash flow. We are illustrating where we say the committee will remember that I presented different rates that we used for assumptions. The ones that we are currently paying for net and low of 1.8% above JIBOR, and the different rates that we were granted at the same time when the net and loan was granted to us of 7% for the OB bank. And we did a scenario where we said if we go and renegotiate the interest rate terms of the net bank loan, this will result in a positive cash back to us in our bank. For financial year 11-12, we are projecting 79 million, growing to 209 million for financial year 12-30, and also stabilizing for financial year 13-40. I would like to bring to the attention of the committee that if the infrastructure is funded, the cash position will increase significantly. And given our financial performance for the last 3 years and the projected balance sheet strength and position for the next 3 years, we are of the view that we are well positioned to renegotiate better financial terms from our financiers. Over the last 3 years, the revenue has grown by 1 billion, resulting, translating into 26%. Expenses have been well managed and contained, and we are steadily growing at a slower pace of 9%. The cash position of the SABC at the 31st of March had grown by 624 million from 2008-2009. We are only projecting a net loss of 12 million for the next coming fiscal of 11-12, growing steadily to 96 million, and for the 13-14 fiscal year to 368 million. Now, what all of the above means to us is that the positive, consistent performance of the corporation indicates that we are sustainable and we will continue to show growth. The capital infrastructure of the SABC should be funded to ensure that we continue to deliver programming that is compelling to the viewers. We have turned a positive cash for our business, and we have also continued to strengthen our balance sheet for the corporation. It is against this background that we say that we would like to negotiate some of the interest rate terms in the law. And what that means, we would like to illustrate to the committee that when we look at our debt-to-equity ratio of the business, a debt-to-equity ratio means that how much money do you have as the corporation compared to the debt that you owe. And a positive measure for debt-to-equity ratio should be less. From the fiscal 11-12, you can see that we're not on a positive health, but as we continue and the benefits of the turnaround begin to take place, you can see that that picture improves significantly. The financial performance of the SABC outlined before you depict the corporation's ability to service its debt and meet its obligation when they fall due, while at the same time continues to improve its operational performance, as it is indicated by the growing retained earnings. We are projecting a growth of retained earnings from 944 million to 1.4 billion in the space of 3 years. And as we move along to project the financial performance of the SABC, for this fiscal we are only projecting a smaller operating loss of 204 million versus a loss of the previous year of 496 million. This results in a financial performance that indicates that we have halved the loss that we incurred from our operational performance in the previous financial year. For the next 3 years, we are projecting an operating profit of 12 million, 96 million for financial year 12-13, of 306 million for financial year 13-14. This positive trend depicts a different picture compared to the previous 3 years. We have moved from a loss of 910 million in the financial year of 08-09 to now forecasting a loss of only 204 million in this past fiscal of 10-11. From 11 onwards, we are projecting to be making a profit on a consistent basis. The committee, I would like to bring to the committee that this means that SABC as a corporation, it is sustainable. The improved financial performance from a loss of 910 million down to a loss of 204 million is due to the following. The corporation's ability to aggressively grow its market in share, translating to the increased advertising revenue, the well-contained loss has also contributed to the reduced loss of 204 million. The improved operational performance in the business, that is due to the work that the board has instituted that is relating to the turnaround, the improved and better terms of trade with the rights owners for programs, both locally and internationally. We have also started to issue an RFP book for our local productions. We are currently negotiating with the sports rights owners, and we are positive that the negotiations will be concluded successfully. Before you, I would like to bring the committee to the projected cash position as at the end of 31st March 2011. We have a cash balance of 636 million. This is a significant improvement from the financial year of 2008-2009 when we were granted the government guarantee. And we'd like to also, as part of demonstrating to the committee and the portfolio committee and the members that our balance sheet is continuing to strengthen and the SABC is able to meet its debt obligation while it increases cash. When the government guarantee was issued to the SABC in 2009, it was for a value of 1.473 billion to be drawn down into two tranches of 1 billion and 473. With relating to the 473, there were conditions attached to accessing this money. To date, the SABC has only drawn down on the 1 billion and do not intend to access the additional 473 million. However, it should be noted by the committee that we have fulfilled conditions relating to the second tranche of the 473, and it is the corporation that has elected not to access this money. And this trend also depicts an improving debt profile of the corporation for the next 3 years and indicates a healthier picture. And this trend producing a indicate a debt reducing over the next 3 years, relating to the repayment of the net bank loan. And as we pay the net bank loan, we are also paying our asset leases that are relating to the net bank loan. And with the projected funding statement relating to how we intend to fund the business going forward, we would like to bring to the committee the challenges we have around the terms of the net bank loan that we believe as a corporation that are not favorable to us. We are seeking to obtain favorable terms, particularly around the interest payments or charges. This is on the backdrop that the financial performance of the SABC has significantly increased and improved from the time when the loan was granted in 2009. The financial performance is indicated through investment in programs for both local and international, the aggressive debtors management, and collection and positive cash balance. This means that as a corporation, at an earnings level or financial performance level, we continue to show modest profits and increase gradually. And what is more important is that our balancing strength is increasing. There is youth in debt and the increased capital expenditure. And it is also against this good performance for the past 3 years and also projected improved performance for the next 3 years that we will be seeking to renegotiate favorable terms with the financier. In conclusion, I would just like to go to the committee that the cooperation is sustainable. It is beginning to turn a corner from a loss of $910 million in 2008-09 to a modest projected loss of $204 million, continue to comply with the terms of the government guarantee that are there and continue to perform better at an earnings level. And the cooperation infrastructure that we are currently financing to the value of $408 million should be funded because the non-funding has the potential of leading the SABC not to be financially viable. We will be negotiating the interest rate terms of the Nedbank loan to ensure that we remain to be cash flush as the business and our liquidity level is improved. We will be making, and this is the most significant point that I would like the committee to take note of, is that by the end of April, we will be making the first $50 million of the payment to the government grant to the Nedbank loan that was issued. By the end of May, we will be making the second $51 million, representing the first tranche of $111 million payment to the government guarantee, loan that was issued by the financier. This is 8 months before the due date of repaying the debt, the capital and the interest relating to the debt. We have also made a rollover of funds request to the value of $160 million for the capital expenditure, and we are requesting that the National Treasury approve that. Thank you.
Robin, you can take it.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are very serious when we say we need your intervention. We have not received anything in this MCEF. We have to have our infrastructure spending included in the adjustment estimates. It is only fair. We cannot be asked to turn around the organization and then the state doesn't come to the party. Please, we need your help in this matter. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Chair, members of the committee. The team is going to still go through a few bits and pieces this afternoon, so we're going to be trying to move on the pace quite quickly. The turnaround strategy was approved by the board in November 2010 and also was presented here. At that time, we had initiatives which were clearly identified and allocated to respective group executive members as portfolio owners. Project charters and project plans were drafted and signed off by the group executive. A turnaround project resource was required, reviewed, and budget requests were made. A turnaround steering committee was established, which reports through to the turnaround subcommittee of the board, and a project management office and government structure was set. As part of that, we also have a very rigorous reporting process where every 2 weeks the executive members of the SABC have to report on their progress updates in the last 2 weeks, as well as a quarterly in-depth review of their projects. Project coordinators provide an independent evaluation of the project progress, so we can't simply be misled. Project reporting is done by means of robots to indicate the progress, and I do apologize for members who do not necessarily have the best eyesight, and if you are slightly colorblind, I do apologize for that. But essentially, the square block is if the project has been completed. Green means the project's on track across four dimensions. The project's behind but will catch up, or maybe yellow. That's about whether or not there's been a bit of slippage already. And projects require executive intervention or red. So at that point in time, we have to get involved as an executive. and you have the dashboard, and it's just simply to give evidence to you that there's a portfolio of projects, there's the members of the executive committee, and they have been allocated projects, and we are tracking which of their projects at each independent level are completed, how many are green, how many are orange, and how many are red. And you can see that at this evaluation, 9% were still problematic for us. In Steelcom 1, which is December, after the committee was presented with the turnaround, we got the third view of the project confirmations. Everyone signed off what they had to do. Steelcom 2, which was the 19th of January, when most people returned from work, showed that the projects confirmed at 70%. Everyone had their plans drawn up and were ready to rock and roll. On the 7th of February, people had commenced the work, and 22% of the projects were online. And then we broke it up to try and find that exactly what was going on the projects as we improved on project management. On the 2nd of March, we got a first view, and you can see there only 28% of the projects were on track, and today we are at 37%. 16% of our projects were in trouble. Today that's only 99%. So clearly there's been a progress and a very strong action. We also then have a dashboard where the board will look at the performance of our projects, and there you can see the top 10 projects that we believe make a difference to SABC. Design implementation of a group-wide performance management system, reduce cash costs, the business day reduction, improvement in procurement effectiveness, establish a digital media division, and I'm sure my colleagues from National Treasury will recommend many of, will recognize that these are many initiatives which are required in terms of the government guarantee as well. Next slide. So if you want to look at the top 16, and we can back it down to 92 projects that form the portfolio for the turnaround and the strategy implementation this year. And we've taken this year's strategy that we're going to present to you in a few minutes and put it into the same process so we know what projects drive a change in the SABC, which gives us quite a degree of confidence about knowing what we need to do and being able to measure it as we implement it. I'm not going to take a lot of time on the mandate review. I think the initial opening sequence covered the mandate in quite a bit of depth.
Sorry, before you proceed, acting CEO, I'm hearing you talking about project. What project?
The turnaround project.
What would be the project? But I'm not sure
which project they're talking about. There are many projects they're talking about. So which one? Okay. In the turnaround strategy, there were 92 projects that were identified. So the individual tasks and plans of action that were required.
I'm trying to say, when you say project general, I'll give an example. Charlotte Mampane, there are projects allocated there, but which are those programs belonging to whom? We are saying there were 90-something projects, but who's dealing with which project?
So we can provide the detail. Each executive has a portfolio of projects. This is just a summary of how they're doing. Let's take Charlotte's case. Charlotte is looking at setting up our editorial policy, governance and regulatory unit. She's also looking at the revision of her editorial policies later this year. So she will be in charge of the editorial outreach program we'll have in the second half of the year, where radio stations and platforms will go out and do surveys with listeners and viewers as to what kind of programming they want to see and what they believe the editorial policy should look like. So that's an example of what we're talking about there. No, Chair, no, that's not meant that. There are 92 projects. It's the top 10 are the ones that we really, really, really are going to deal with in the next quarter, mostly. So those are the ones we believe will have the most traction in the organization. Next, just this one, we've been through the mandate. Okay, next. The Auditor General report, I'm going to ask Mr. Gillard to just take us through this, and then Mr. Harris to talk to risk.
Chairperson, thank you very much. It's one slide. Basically, it is to say that the SABC is continuing to work very hard to respond to all the issues that were raised by the AGSA report. And to that effect, it is now known by this portfolio committee that SIU is currently in SABC doing work, and we can safely say that they are ready to deliver a report to the full board. They have given a report to the audit committee of the board, with some of the things that you've seen in the media, which the head of that unit gave a press briefing where he mentioned the work that they are doing in SABC, and they are currently requesting to proceed and do phase two of the work, which will go into detail. But already we've got eight dockets that are ready. They are working together with the Commercial Crimes Unit to ensure that those dockets go to court. And we think that it will be the decision of our courts in our country to decide whether those cases, but as far as we are concerned and they are concerned, those cases are very strong and the possibility of success is higher. We have been able to reduce the number of suspensions and the days at which we take to resolve the cases. Mr. Ndaba, when he reports, he will give more detail to that. We have also been able to reduce the number of days we take with disciplinary hearings. The high-level disciplinary hearings, which you've seen in the media, we have succeeded in them. I don't know the affidavit that you're talking about. We are looking forward to hearing about it. We are currently reviewing a number of policies that were issues of concern raised by the AGSA, and my colleague from the risk subcommittee will talk more on some of them and the work that we've done. And we are continuously reviewing the status of our response. But we must say that from the SIU investigation, there is more that was not picked up by the AG. As you all know, that the AG did not spend a long time in SABC, and they've been able to pick up more issues, which in the phase two, they will go into detail, because they are just waiting for us to have a board meeting and approve that they go to the phase two, so that they'll be able to go into the details of those matters. There are figures that they've mentioned that currently, as at end of 2009, there were 1,465 employees in SABC who were having companies, and there's quite a big number of them who were doing business with SABC. But they are proposing that they want to go into details of those investigations.
Sorry, before you proceed, can you either you put your phones on your pocket, because they're just causing anarchy for the system. And has been happening for some time. I don't know whether those people, they don't understand that their phones are causing havoc, or they need to be told to understand it. Because I think everyone has been hearing this sound is deafening on our ears and so.
Chairperson, I was concluding that the external auditors are currently busy in SABC preparing a management report, which will show exactly that we have achieved a lot of improvement in terms of responding to the AGSA report. I thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, of course, Deputy Minister. Just in terms of risk, what we found when we came into office early last year was that there was just a huge amount of areas of risk that needed to be addressed. As a result, it was a decision was taken by the board in June 2010 to split the audit and risk committee. So you'd have a risk committee and then an audit committee. And the risk committee has been pretty hard at work ever since. What we in fact found once we went into the various areas is that policies were outdated. There were low levels of compliance, and the risk register or identification of risks was also outdated. What we have done is that since that date, and as at the end of March, we have done a complete review of legal risk, IT risk, insurable risk. We have reviewed and rewritten all risk policies, including fraud and corruption policies and so on, and we have also compiled a dashboard as well as done a complete new identification of the top 21 risks. So just to go into it in a bit more detail, risk management policies, strategies, framework have all been set out in terms of the overall policies and framework according to national and international best practice. Those have also been linked very closely to the performance contracts, if we can just go back just a second, to the performance contracts of individual executives and managers to make sure that this is properly embedded throughout the organization, and I'll speak to that as a challenge. And then just to say that the general training and development in this area is something which is ongoing and needs to take place, but is firmly being handled by Mr. Ndaba, heading HR. Just to say that the risk dashboard, which comes to the risk committee every time it meets, and which will also go to the board, gives us a fairly clear indication of the primary risks facing us and the progress taken in mitigating those particular risks. This is an ongoing process. We started off a low base since June last year. The challenge that we face is to embed it throughout the entire organization, and the whole purpose of cascading it down through the performance management system will hopefully address that particular item. And then, of course, there are a range of legal and regulatory compliance issues in terms of the Competition Commission, new legislation coming in, treasury regulations, etc. And we are working on that on an ongoing basis, but I think making good progress. Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Chair. When we come back to the board last year, set a series of strategic pillars and some targets around programming, platform management, news and current affairs, governance, human capital services, financial management, and stakeholder management, against which it would measure the performance of the organization. The team then went away and looked at how they could integrate this within the strategy of the organization. And we developed a series of strategic intents. And the first one was to put broadcasters and broadcasting back in the forefront of what the organization is about, and editorial integrity back into the platforms and programs of the SABC, in particular news, to get the organization focused on broadcasting, because that is what it does. Building brands that reflect excellence and South African identity in every way. Building a digital SABC and integrating the digital future into all plans and actions. Having an operating model that is simple and easily understood, supported by an organizational design that assigns accountability directly to those who are charged with the execution of the enterprise plans and with good governance. Building an organization that is economical, efficient, and effective, focusing on the performance of the enterprise at every level and holding individuals accountable for delivery. Managing and reporting on strategy development and implementation, operational performance, and risk management. And the teams then went away and said, well, based on our new operating model and our strategic focus and our intent, what do we have to do in television? We still do maintain the separation between PBS and PCS. So although we often talk just about the head of television, Mr. Ngwane is also the head of our PBS portfolio of media platforms, and we do produce the required financial reports in separation as is required by the Broadcast Act. Our key focus in television is recapturing lost market share with an ever-growing competitive market while delivering our public service mandate. We will move our audience delivery from 59% to 60% this year. That is dependent on us implementing a very strong turnaround of SABC3, which is aimed at returning the channel to a competitive commercial channel, develop a strategic position for SABC within the DTT space as we prepare for the launch in 2012. So looking at exactly what channels we're going to have, we've done a lot of work around the DTT pilot program. We understand what we're required to do. However, it's clearly that the Big Bang approach that we had adopted in our initial DTT projections will have to be moderated, both because we have yet to see decoder take-up, and that plan was developed when we all were a lot wealthier. and we did anticipate a faster economic growth rate than we are currently experiencing. Investment in both brand and program marketing activities to drive audiences to the platforms. So we have acquired and are busy relooking all of our marketing activities to come up with a consensus way forward on marketing. With the implementation of the new operating model, there is now one unit responsible for content and channel management and content acquisition. So there is no longer a content enterprises division with all of its superstructure and headcount. Those parts responsible for local content delivery commissioning are contained in a much smaller unit called Content Services. We have separated out sport as a separate business, and we are currently working quite hard at reducing both the cost of programming and the quality of programming must improve, as well as looking at the basket of rights we must acquire. Focus we placed on the acquisition of new programming on both local and international content so as to drive audiences to the channels, as well as to ensure an effective, efficient, and economical enterprise. So we do still face very significant challenges around stop write-offs on international content. Some of those large output deals still have a year or two to complete. And that the television unit is prepared to deliver on DTT. If we look at DTT itself, we do anticipate the launch of DTT in 2012, that the enterprise as public service broadcaster is ready to play its part in the country's transition to the digital future. So the SABC, we do recognize, will be responsible for making sure that the public is educated, informed, and hopefully entertained on the new DTT platform. Channel and programming lineup in preparation is currently underway to ensure the enterprise is ready for the 2012 commercial launch of the platform. And that does include things like a new News 24 offering on a terrestrial platform. To deliver that on, it will need to make capital investments in infrastructure, which is requested, and I think you've...
Acting CEO, sorry to interrupt you, but the indication is that the Deputy Minister will be leaving, as I've indicated, that... and is not talking. He has ended, but he's leaving, but he's not talking. so you can proceed with your but he has already spoken by saying not talking, but it's like, no.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Deputy Minister. Can we next slide? On SABC Radio, for us, this is quite a challenge around the PBS platform in particular, but radio in generally. There have been many changes in society, and the radio operating model itself hasn't necessarily kept track with that. And we've seen a gradual erosion of core audiences across a number of PBS platforms. I suppose the one that most of you be most aware of and understand yourself is the large audience losses we've suffered on platforms like SAFM. And I'm sure you also experienced the new lineups that are coming into play, and there will be further changes as we look at talent management on PBS radio stations and lineups and programming and stationality. And I heard the screen this morning complaining about the 5:30 news that never starts at 5:30 in the afternoon. And clearly for a public service broadcaster, you can't have the news starting late. That is something that we've always prided ourselves on. Maybe at the moment we've let it slip, at least particularly on that one. And that is a key performance indicator that we've placed across the flock in radio. So radio is about getting its audiences back, also about finding a solution for a national youth radio station in the long term. It's fine to have True FM focusing on a very regional audience, but in fact, if you're going to have a national youth platform, what do you do about signal distribution? And then we believe talent management were key to deliver the success of the radio stations, as well as expanding its transmitter network. And most importantly of all, research we conducted to determine the taste and interest of listeners aimed at improving radio's offering. And then an integrated marketing solution to address both brand and programming strategies. If we just turn now to the news operation, Perhaps the most significant impact of digital media is on the news operation. A few months ago, the iPad was launched in this country, and I'm sure many of us have got themselves fondly into it. But if you look at what those devices, these tablet devices, are doing, right now you can buy, you can get a free application and you can watch Sky News or CNN on your iPad using 3G. And we know that by June next year, there will be broadband in this country as those new cables arrive and as we see pricing reductions. We've really seen that from Vodacom. Now, the big challenge that we face in our news operation is the fact that we are a linear analog broadcaster and we're not a digital platform. So we've always had a fair separation between radio and TV, sharing stories, but there was radio and then there was television, and we flirted with bimedia over the years. But if we look at the way TV news works, it really has two large periods where it produces an awful lot of content. First thing in the morning, on morning live, and programming around the 7 to 9 slot, and then again in the evenings, around the 7 to 8 slot. But for the rest of the day, other than some business reporting midday, there's very little going on around television news. And that's a very expensive infrastructure with a lot of people getting ready for that late-night news bulletin. Whereas radio has regular bulletins on the half hour and on the hour. And they have a much quicker turnaround. Now, radio is faster simply because of the way the medium works than television. So in the future, you have one 24-hour news gathering operation. That operation forms the basis for 24-hour news gathering operation with the stories are collated in for radio and television and digital media. Going from that, the first point of broadcast then becomes a 24/7-hour news channel. Well, that's where the breaking stories are. That's where you would cover stories in depth and for longer so people can get a sense of live what is going on in the particular story. It then starts feeding off bulletins, primarily radio bulletins, because the clock on the linear analog platforms will not change much, so the SBC's TV bulletins will be fed. And flowing around this and holding it all together will, of course, be your next level of applications, which are your internet, particularly mobile and other digital platforms. And we've seen them come through. There's currently a Korean standard being tested, particularly to provide television onto the Gautrain. And there's a temporary license being granted by ICASA. And when we've been talking about a 24-hour channel, it really is the repositioning of SABC News into the digital age. And this news channel, next slide, at the core of our public service broadcasting is the provision of news and current affairs. Without the SABC, there would not be news in South Africa. I think it's fair to say that. The upgrade of the news facilities as well as the renewed brand and programming emphasis will ensure that SABC News image is restored and audiences are recouped. A 24-hour news channel with a reference point of an African issues, SABC News will launch in the 24-hour news channel as part and preparation of the SABC's DTT offering. We must have a compelling news offering when we launch DTT. Those programs and the Al Jazeera's recently announced, B-Sky B has recently announced the launch of an Arabic program in the Middle East, and they are planning to take 18 months to get that on air. And that's just to give you a sense of how big digital broadcasters are also approaching this issue. We will provide it on GTC. It entrenches
Timothy or? Yeah. Your time is actually up 1 hour, 30 minutes.
Okay.
Can I have 2 minutes? So you are taking too long.
Okay.
So can you try to move towards the close so
yes,
that
we
can have time for questions?
Okay. We think this will increase our audience share, increase accessibility to broader audiences. And then we've just given you some background to it. But just to reemphasize, to prepare for the DT launch by offering a free view 24-hour news channel, which will be available on the multiple platforms, including any platform that has the must-pay obligations. But primarily, we will be launching this with the DSTV platform initially. But it will form the basis for DTT. We've also done a lot of work around sport and we've given that to you. And editorial management to try and strengthen the capacity and deal with it, including the editorial outreach to the end of the year. And then also, just if we can just move quickly through it, with this last mandate delivery. Commercial sales, it's about getting more money out of our existing audiences as we improve them. And then we've also put together a new model for provinces, so that will allow better stakeholder management in provinces. And we're quite clear about how that will work, and that will be implemented over the next 3 months or so. And then marketing and brand building. And then each business unit aligns its objectives with the overall corporate architecture of the strategy. I suppose, Justice, if you've got 2 minutes to get through this. Sorry.
Honourable Member Chairperson, I think on people largely I won't go through all the numbers here, but indicate that we have managed to contain our costs in terms of far as people are concerned. You would have seen during the finance presentation that if at all the increases have been on just 7%, which is largely on annual increases, but we have managed to improve all areas. But in as far as the performance management, we are driving a culture of responsibility. We have, as the chair indicated earlier, that we have signed off all contracts within the organization and are driving the rest of the organization to complete by end of May. I am going to show you a slide, Chair, in terms of our reduction of headcount, which is where we have projected that by the end of the fiscal, we have a saving of about 122 million. You would see, Chair, that we have had a budget headcount of about 4,000. As we speak, we are on actual of 3,699. By not filling positions, we managed to reduce by about 358, and we intend that we reduce further by end of the year by a further 15%, and we are projecting that we will be at 3,000 headcount in fiscal year 13-14 to be able to realize those savings. And we have indicated, Chair, as a last, that we will be able to achieve this without necessarily doing forced retrenchment. We've indicated that as we will be, for instance, when we begin to exit analog facilities, we will do training and retraining. We are discussing with our social partners and our unions in terms of looking at early retirement 55 and above. We'll consider outplacement and some levels of voluntary retrenchment. However, forced retrenchment as a last resort, and we don't anticipate that we'll get to that. In terms of the growth of digital, we are looking, as we indicated, that we will be establishing a new digital organization. In terms of the unit, we will be looking at our current people and retrain and only recruit those specialized skills, but by and large retrain our current staff. And we will do all of the above in terms of outplacements. We also are doing a lot of managing the contracts that end and ensuring that they see the effluxion of time. In terms of the rest of the organization, we're looking at management rationalization. We've indicated as well that in terms of that, a large driver here is in terms of contract expiries and looking at our alignment to our operating model here. You would have also seen that we have said that already we're beginning to manage our numbers at the top in terms of ensuring that we have a lean organization with a few people at the top, but also in terms of the bottom, a very lean structure of 3,000 people. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. That completes our presentation.
Thanks, Chair. It will do it better next time. Time yourself 1 hour, 30 minutes every day. That's the time you have so that we can also engage, but we'll improve next time around. It has been a long presentation, close to 2 hours. Maybe we need just to stretch our legs for 10 minutes, and then we come back, we deal with the issue of questions, so that those who go to demarcated areas, they can do so, and come back with a new vigor and energy. Thank you very much. We'll start 10 minutes time. Chairperson, SABC in absentia, and acting CEO in absentia. The actors. Resolution of the meeting between SABC and DEF-SA. One, the FSA and SABC board agree that something has been done, but is not enough in addressing their issues. Two, the FSA and SABC would like to have a meeting in the first week of May 2011 to resolve all outstanding issues. Three, the FSA would meet with their National Executive Committee to take the matters forward. Four, a date will then be decided in the first week of May and will be communicated to the board, that is the meeting between DEF-SA and SABC board, which will take place or will be held in Johannesburg Octane Park headquarters for SABC. Five, DEF-SA is satisfied with the outcome and the resolution of the meeting with the SABC. That's how it goes, the discussion between DEF-SA and the SABC board. In essence, in short, there will be meeting in the first week of May to continue to engage on the issues which they think they are still outstanding, which are affecting them, and so on. That's the report back to the committee members. Members agreed. We'll monitor progress on the matter. After the first week of May, we'll expect that SABC will forward to us through the committee section the outcome of that meeting which they'll be having with DEF-SA and so on. So that we can be able to track progress. Thank you very much. Can we go to the question? Thank you very much, DEF-SA, for your understanding on all the other issues we went through, and also appreciate from the SABC board to give you that opportunity to engage with them. We are grateful for that. Thanks very much. I hope you sometimes will come and engage the committee. Where it will be your meeting, talking to us as a committee and so on. Thanks very much. Members, we can go to the question. Member Magazi.
Can I just go straight to the SABC presentation on job creation?
You have everything they talk about, no sequence.
Oh, okay. I see, Chair, the SABC is retrenching. And on the other hand, the State of the Nation address by President, he talked about job creation. And our parastatal, that is the SABC, is retrenching. Can I just find out from them, because the two does not go well. Parliament, it says, do job create jobs for unemployed, and SABC on this other side is saying we are retrenching. So what is the status? How are you going to make sure that you balance what is being required by Parliament? And also, I'm aware that you also have a responsibility to make sure that you sustain the SABC. And this committee, I'm also aware, we have been saying to SABC, your structure is a bloated structure. Reorganize your structure. Make sure that your structure talks to the current issue. So can I get the balance there?
Honorable Killen, you just write down the question until they are all done, then you will respond. Honorable Killen.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must say, just by way of introduction, I wanted to say that I believe that we had a very good presentation. I think it is very valuable to understand what the SABC has done so far with regards to implementation of the turnaround strategy. And I think the culture that you are trying to inculcate, performance-based management, etc., will certainly deliver the goods. I do see that the stabilization of this public broadcast has really gone quite far. And I really need to commend the board for the progress that they've made, and that they have actually pressed all the different buttons that were identified when the turnaround strategy was developed. Secondly, I quickly want to refer to the issue that Honorable Magaza has mentioned. From what I can understand, part of the problem to turn around the SABC was indeed to make sure that there is not the organizational structure and the commensurate salary packages, employment benefits, are not crippling the organization in the rollout of its mandate. So I, contrary to the understanding that the Honourable Member has, I believe that, and my party believes that it would be important for the SABC to focus on job creation rather through South African content development, rather than having a bloated bureaucracy, which is very expensive, and which on itself just continues to grow, especially if you have a top-heavy management structure. So I just wanted to understand if that is indeed what the SABC is busy doing to make sure that it assists local film producers to provide content to the SABC, and in doing that, rather create job opportunities, develop the industry, develop manufacturers, film manufacturers, people with radio expertise, to bring in people into the organization so that they can also benefit from the spin-off of a well-managed public broadcaster, if you can explain that. Then just the other outstanding matter that I believe is very important. It is very good that we know the steps that Mr. Gina and Mr. Peter Harris referred to in terms of risk management, and getting proper audit in place. Just a question with regards to steps taken by the Special Investigations Unit, but also are you busy with a sort of a training within the organization to make people understand that conflicts of interest is not the way to go, to make sure that you also, whilst you're dealing with corrupt practices of the past, that you also make people sign a code of conduct, or what is it that we're doing within the organization to make sure that, again, you change the culture within the organization and within the corporation? Chairperson, thank you. At this stage, I would like to stop there. If there's any further, I don't want to stop other members from asking questions. If there's another round, I would like to come back in. Thank you.
Honorable Brochen and Dabeni, Tambi, then Dabeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to thank the SABC for the presentation. Also, Chairperson, thank you for allowing your delegation to speak to the Federation of South Africa. And it's a pity that it has taken them to come here and for you to listen to their concerns here in this committee, because since 1994, I've been asking and asking since 1999, the interpreter was set, I've been asking and asking and questioning the whole the subtitling issue. So I'm hoping, I'm not just talking here for the deaf, I'm also talking for people who are blind, because they also have needs, and you need to consider their needs and also meet with that sector as well. My concern is elections that's coming up now. That's my primary concern at the present moment, because if you are meeting in the first week of May, please keep in mind that the elections are the 18th of May, and this is a community that does not know what is happening politically in our country. So when there are election debates happening, what is being said, I don't want this to be delayed again and an excuse, so I'd like to know what's going to happen regarding that issue. And then when you talk about the turnaround strategy, you talk about DTT. I've been given the assurance previously by previous board members who are obviously not here now presently because you are because of the new board, but I was given the assurance with the provision of DTT, there will be an immediate accessibility for people with disabilities, especially the deaf community. So I'd like to see how would DTT benefit this particular group in the community. This Parliament also ratified the UN Convention on the Disability and the Rights of Disabled People. Please, in that convention, it talks about, and we have the assurance that people with disability do have access, and this is what our government is saying, access, universal access for all people, and this includes elections. I don't want, when we report back to the UN, because we strongly lobbied for this convention, and we report back and we can say, look, our public broadcast did absolutely nothing to make sure that there's access for our people. So for me, I'm going to harp on the point that's talking about access, and I will harp on that point. So I would like to find that accessibility, where is that in your strategy, in your turnaround strategy? Thank you very much.
Honorable Tambi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me join the chorus from my colleagues appreciating the good work that has been done by the SABC board, Chairperson, and your delegation. Thank you. Okay. I have in front of me the original document submitted by yourselves to Parliament. Although it's not signed, I'm not sure if it's a formal document that I can engage on, even if we invited you to come and present. If I can get a clarity before I proceed.
Come
again?
The signature came later. There is a signed copy of the corporate plan.
The signature followed the document.
Chairperson, the document submitted to the shareholder was signed by myself. But I think when they reprinted documents for distribution, people did not take the care that they must reprint from the signed document. I that's the only explanation I can give. You know.
Before you proceed, can I then ask the chairperson to go through this document and check if it's the one that is signed? Because I don't want to engage in the document. Maybe it has alterations. I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
It is, because my work is only based on a signed document, not a PowerPoint presentation or any other thing. Secondly, Chairperson, again on this document. Please, I don't have the signed one, so I'll always refer to this one that is in front of me. If you look into page 88 to page 94, before I get into the content, 88 to 94, if you look in the flow of the wording or whatever that has been put there in that template. 88 to 94. Yes. I'm looking in your key deliverables and key performance indicators, the class of our job. Did you get it? If you look to your scenario 1, your scenario 2, and your scenario 3, the first two scenarios, especially with 1, are not detailed as your scenario 3. It would assist me if I were to get the information that you have done, the relevant work that you have done with scenario 3, so that as this committee were able to say, the decision to go with scenario 3, we support or we don't. Because what you have done, you just gave information of the scenario that you chose. So if we can get both 1, 2, and 3. The other one on page, I think it's 44. If we look into your key deliverable and the indicator, I'm not sure what we are trying to do or what you are trying to tell us there. Because you check your 44, you compare with page 50, where in your key performance indicator, in page 50, you put yes, your September 2011. I'm not sure that's an indicator or a target, but you will explain before I proceed with asking questions. I want to clarify on that. And then when you look at 44, your performance indicator is reduced, whatever is the actual key performance area. If one can first clarify that, then I'll get into the question. Thank you.
Chairperson, can you just read that part in page 44? The relevant part.
I'm making an example now. Not that I'm sticking to it, but the whole document is where I raised the issue of the flow of the document. That you look at your key performance indicators, they differ. In the same template, you have reduced cost of production by whatever, 10%, and then page 50, in the same item on key performance indicator, you have a year. I'm not sure if you're getting me.
Key performance indicator 2011. Review cost impact policies, leave policy, acting policy. Those. Right. And then this one, 44, business case signed off. Yeah. Okay. Sure. We'll clarify that. Okay. Okay. Sure.
Honorable Ntambi.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to also appreciate the progress that the ECB has done thus far. Mine will start at page 46. I think it's linked with your of the unsigned. It's the clarity speaking question. Can you see people? Pillar number 5. People. Under the financial year 11 task, there's a day to day. It's similar to what my colleague has initially raised. In terms of your key performance indicator, then 49. So, I said 46.
Yeah, you said
46. You want 46? Yeah. 46, sorry. It's 46. Sorry, news.
The 24-hour
news channel launched. And then launched the 24-hour news by April 2011. We just wanted to check the progress because we are now towards the end of April. Then the other one is on page 48. This date that are there. There's an indication that there is going to be a review of procurement processes by March 2012. We want to understand why it is target. What's happening now in between?
Member Mtambi, the task correct, you see, I'm told that 85% of South Africans also are Christian. And you see in church when people are praying, the others will say, Jesus, 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 whilst the other one is praying. But here we're in a committee meeting. Everyone keep quiet. The person on the floor asks questions. You note your question, your time comes, you respond to questions. We are not in church as Jesus, Jesus Christ. It's a committee meeting. Thank you. You can proceed, member.
Yeah, I believe they will answer like you're saying. So we want to understand this target to see what's happening in between. Then you move to page 49. The performance management review under financial year 11-12, April 2010. I believe there are some spelling mistake there. It was not contact, it should be contract. I'm thinking it's contract, and then I want to understand what is this 2-year performance management contract. Want to understand that. And then you go down on attraction, retention, and development of resources to drive organizational delivery. This organogram approved and cascaded. Our understanding was that we'll see it attached here on this report. And then we want to understand the processes that were undergone in doing this organogram approval and cascading. Also, was the shareholder as per clause 1.1 of your memorandum of association consulted? So if you can take us throughout the whole process. Our understanding was that, isn't that it's after the approval of the strategy. I think if you can take us through the entire process that you yet undergone through, then there will be follow-up questions to that effect. The other one, the other one is on the report by the turnaround strategy on the presentation by the acting group CEO. Can you take us through our understanding in terms of the turnaround strategy that you have presented to us last year, November? You had three pillars. You want us to take us clearly. It was about revenue enhancement strategy, number one. Number two, it was about reduction of costs. And then number three was this other one, the overall historic cost cut down mechanism. We have seen this huge presentation. Maybe it was depending on the length of the presentation. We want you to take us through to say that this revenue enhancement strategy, has it been adopted and approved, and then are you implementing it, and then what are the challenges? Take us through all these three pillars. I couldn't locate it as you were presenting. Thank you, sir.
Okay. I'm not sure when I've got lots of questions, but I assume we'll take rounds and rounds. I'm going back to page 44. If you look into cell number 3 there, or column, the third column, whatever, you have something that talks about public value targets, but those targets you have not specified. If you can give us a clarity, because they are listed under a key performance indicator area. We really appreciate it when we receive documents that are smart, so that when we follow up on the work that you do, we are also clear. When you have indicators and targets that are vague, it doesn't help us at all. I believe also for yourself to get the performance bonuses, you must have very clear targets and indicators, because I wouldn't understand if you use this document as a base and then you award one of yourself performance bonus with its vagueness. That's page 44 that I was talking to. The other one, on page 62, under the turnaround project review, you make reference to the turnaround initiative, 12 initiatives. If you can highlight, I'm not sure, maybe I missed it in your presentation, if you can highlight those initiatives, what are they? I hope you are getting it. On page 8, can I close it? I'm not sure if it's there. Can I close it? Okay. On page 53, under the second key delivery, if I can get clarity in terms of the timeline. If you look into that, it seems as if you are going to create a structure and put people into it, and then later on, 2012, you approve the strategy. If I can get clarity on that. My understanding is that structure follows strategy. There's no way that you can decide to appoint or expel without having an adopted strategy. So this one is a little bit confusing. If one can clarify me on that. For now, Chair, I'm covered. I will come again in the second round. Thank you.
Thanks. You are ready to respond to the first set of questions. But before you do that, page 44, the last part, increase reach of SABC services through rollout of low power transmitters. To be quite honest, to me it does not make sense, but I know what you're talking about. It does not make sense because as I'm sitting here, I don't know when the country will be 100% covered. you give me 100, 200, 300, doesn't make sense. My responsibility here is to make sure universal access for SABC throughout the country. When are we reaching 100%? We can't throw numbers. We must know when are we reaching 100%, then we work back. It does not make sense. I've been here looking for, every time it's been coming like this, but when we undergo oversight, more we discover more and more communities and people who are not receiving SABC. With all these numbers which are thrown to us every time. Now, if someone can help me, if SABC have a strategy which is forecast for 100% coverage or 90% or whatever coverage throughout the country, when are we going to reach that? Then you can draw your numbers, because it would make sense at the rate of the numbers you are throwing, when are we going to cover the entire country. But for now, I don't have any sense for it. I have read it this morning that the only people who have been bold enough to talk about universal service access, which the issue was whether telephonical or the other means of broadcasting was not clear, was USASA. They say come 2020, every South African will be able to talk and receive and do everything. What is your case, SABC? Because these numbers, they help for now to see, but does not help the country to plan. Because we've been talking about long-term planning. This does not help about long-term planning. Only annual numbers and so on. So if only you respond on page 44, what is your long-term planning? When are you covering the country? Centec is here. They will listen to you and wait for the acquisition and so on, so that they can smile all their way and ICASA approve those things, so that our people, South Africans, they do receive SABC. It was a pain with the World Cup. They didn't watch it. And so on and so on. Thank you very much. You can respond. Close to the mic or use your short voice.
You, Chairperson, in government departments, you establish and de-establish structures. Now, by re-establishing structures, you hope to improve effectiveness, competitiveness, and efficiency. The basic condition of the government grant was that SABC must reduce headcount because the system and the structure was bloated. We agonized a lot about this. We came to the conclusion that those contracts that were expiring will not be renewed until we are sure of our studies in terms of what critical jobs we need to establish for the new structure. We committed no crime. If a person's contract ends, and you say, I'm not ready to renew your contract or to extend your contract, we have committed no crime. We have just given ourselves a period during which we will do further examination of the job structure and then put out new advertisements for a newly defined job structure. And those people, anyone can apply. Anyone. I mean, people whose contracts were not renewed can apply for any job, provided they fit in with the job requirement, with the job specification. So we have not reduced jobs. We have simply restructured the SABC to create more jobs in future, in terms of what is going to be funded and the investments that we're going to make. Thank you.
Can I have a follow-up, Chair? That we just think that if it will go out there in the public that we came to the portfolio committee and say we are retrenching, when we presented a number of steps and we clearly said that retrenchment will be a last resort. That's what we've said. We said we'll use all methods possible to avoid the ultimate decision of retrenchment. We said we'll retrain our people, we'll transfer people to the DTT and retrain them and everything. So it is unfortunate that maybe in that process we will not be able to accommodate every employee of SABC. And when that time comes, we'll follow the due process, we'll engage with our trade unions. So we just think that it will spoil the good relationship that we've developed with the trade unions if it will come out that we came here and said we are retrenching. We said that retrenchment will be a last resort, and we'll do all manner of things that we will try and find each other with the trade unions to try and ensure that if retrenchment happens, it's a last resort. On a lighter note, SABC maybe had foresight and responded to the call by the president and created a lot of jobs before the call of the president. Thank you.
You see, before you step out on this mat, can someone tell me, because you see, we need to be clear. You only allow people with their contracts run out, and you don't renew their contract. But there are people who gave them advance payment to finish their term at home and so on, and we're not talking about that. See, you've got that category of people. Can someone explain exactly what is happening? Because not only the contract running out, there are people which we know they are at home, their contract was finishing that year, but they are at home. And how are you cutting costs in relation to those people? Because they've got their everything, they are at home, they're not providing any work. Can you just explain that? Because you see this thing we've been picking up on the media everywhere and so on, we are not explaining it here. We are just explaining contracts running out, but we know, you know, that is not the entirely people who are out of SABC. Member Killen Mtambi. Can follow up?
If we can just ask the SABC board, I know we've had similar cases in the past. Have we moved beyond the problem that we face in the past with disciplinary cases where people are actually also at home while receiving packages? I know that was a challenge in the past. Have you made progress with that issue as well? Thank you, Chair.
Also, I think they need to cover this issue. Yes, they are. They reduced head count, but now why HR costs are going up? So they must also attend to that, the head count.
Bob, go on.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think in terms of the direct answer on the issue of contract expiries, I think we need to come clear on that. The contracts that have been terminated. In the event, there's only one case in where we've had a person who had a longer time, but many of the individuals, we have terminated about 7 executives. Of the 7, about 3 worked until the end of their actual contract. 3 worked 2 months. Two to 3 months before the end of their contract ending in June. The basis for that, Chair, was that in terms of those contracts, the contracts indicate that before the expiry of time, you have to engage and indicate whether you're renewing the contract or not. So we engaged with the individuals, and in the process of engagement, they made a request to say, look, you guys are coming to me now and saying, my contract, you're not going to renew my contract. Can you give me the opportunity to go seek alternatives? So what we then approved in the three cases is to say, you're fine, because your leaving does not affect the way in which we operate, because we've indicated in terms of allowing you to go. You don't fit in terms of the future operation model in any event. So, fine, you can be able to do and go. And those are only approvals up to June, because the second tranche of contract expiries, we're handling, after June, we're handling June to December. So we're taking them in six-month tranches, not to impact negatively on the organization operation. So we are a responsible organization. We handle this in terms of the processes that take into account the provisions of the contract. So in all actions, how we action this, when you have a contract between two parties, you cannot act outside those contracts. So when you terminate, when you do anything, is in terms of the provision of the contract. That is why up to thus far, none of the termination, in fact, it's not right to refer to them as terminations, because the contract has reached deflection of time, so there's no termination. Therefore, none of those contracts that has expired, none other person can actually refer a case. If they do, it's not winnable, because the only other option is for them to argue that we presented an expectation of renewal. But you know that we've attempted in terms of the way we manage contract to ensure that we do not create false hope of rollover of contract. So, in terms of all these processes, we handle it in tranches. Tranches are 6 month tranches. Up to now, we're only terminating those that are ending in June. Further on, we're looking at between June and December so that we handle them in the staggered process. Thank you, Chair.
You know, maybe before Chair comes in, I know the CFO contract come to an end in June. Have you engaged and terminated it? You see, because you see, I don't want that you create an impression there are those who are older than you. You see, so we must be clear about this thing, what exactly we are doing, because it should be uniform and consistent. I'm just raising that because, you see, those are the issues that are coming up, and I'm raising it so that you explain to us and the public so that they understand. Otherwise, if you don't raise these issues, the people will continue talking about it under the table, and it becomes a problem for us how to engage on this issue. That's why we just want to engage it forthright, because whether you have a person who's going to, or whatever, when the CEO, CFO goes, and the other things and so on, all those things, and but the interest which I'm having is that I'm sure I'm fine with your explanation. That's how you handle it, because I want you to explain it publicly, because if you don't, it comes back to us, and we must respond, and we don't have the information with you.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I may add, the HMGCO, his contract is that of a CEO, CFO, and that contract will come to an end. You see, Chairperson. So there is no inconsistency in the way.
I'm saying you are engaging people 2 months before.
Yes.
Have you engaged the CFO on his contract, which is coming to an end in June? That's the question I'm raising.
I'll tell you my question.
Because if the CFO, his contract is coming to an end in June, have you engaged the CFO about the termination of the contract in June? What now are in
June? Chairperson.
Because we are in April, May, June. You are saying you start to engage people 2 months or so before their contract expire. My question is, have you already started to engage the acting CEO in his capacity as a CFO? That's what I'm asking. That.
Yes.
So I can answer this because it's directly pertained to me. Dr. Ngubane and myself started having that conversation, I think it was early as January.
Yeah.
Chair, can I just go into this question about job creation? One of the big changes that will happen in the SABC, and we said it quite gently, when we said the exiting of analog facilities. At the same time, we are creating 58 new jobs this year in a digital media division. Those jobs never existed before. And we are also repositioning a lot of other jobs in the organization. So the job changes are going to be quite extensive. But in the digital division, we think we will create 58 jobs this year and probably about 40 next year. We haven't quite worked out how the next iteration works. But as we shut down analog radio studios, analog television studios, we just have too many studios, and we are going to exit those jobs permanently because they're no longer required by the organization. So we will create new jobs. We also create a lot of jobs in the media industry when we expand our local production sector through using freelancers and through production houses. So the media multiple is normally about 7. It's a very labor-intensive industry. And digital media will create even more jobs. It has, all over the world, created many new jobs. So clearly in our strategy about right-sizing the organization, we also have opportunities where we create jobs. Chair, if I can deal with the conflict of interest question. We have required every, following the meeting with SCOPA, we have required every member of staff to resubmit requests to perform outside work, which was a question raised in SCOPA, and we are now currently in the process of auditing whether that person has made a declaration. If they've made a declaration to perform outside work, so if they were, let's say, a chairperson of a organization or an NGO of some sort, they would then declare that as an interest. They would then have to make a request to do outside work. We're going to marry those two together and also check that where they have got permission to do outside work, they have in fact taken leave. And we are looking at our work, our policy around outside work, if they do that and it's not for charitable purpose, or it doesn't enrich their portfolio, who gets paid if it's... So the SABC may well require you to work outside of your terms and conditions of employment, but then, as in many instances such as SA Breweries, I remember Dr. Mapai used to be the chairperson of the SA board, and we used to in fact pay his salary to SA Breweries. So we are looking at those policies. Yes.
Chair, can I just respond to the one question around the issue of risk and compliance issues that was posed by, I think, the Honourable Member Killian. You know, our key priority was to get the framework, to get the strategy, the policy, the procedures, etc., in place. Those are now complete as at the end of March, which is a pretty big step forward. From now on, the rollout of training, etc., will take place. Just to ensure a kind of culture of accountability and compliance, what we're trying to do is that we're focusing on a range of things. First of all, there's the making sure we have the right policy, the development, the training, etc. That's the sort of the developmental angle. And then, of course, the other angle is the stick, which is the SIU, which was brought in under the turnaround committee at the request of the board, but under the guidance of Mr. Gina. And, in fact, it was this board which brought in the SIU. They weren't sort of imposed on us or someone else thought that they should come in. It was a board decision that we took, I think, in about April, 2 months after we took office, that they should come in. And they've been doing outstanding work, and the people that are found to have trespassed or in breach will be prosecuted. So it's a kind of combination approach. Thank you, Chair.
Any other questions? We have left. To go to your table was having dates which are said to be the wrong size and so on. Can you explain the dates?
We don't want them to correct the dates. They can put the dates in whatever way. But our concern is on the indicator part. If they can only explain how do they come up with each KPI that is a date, so that we are able, because that's the only thing that you are going to use when we are making a follow-up on the document that they have submitted here on the programs that they are going to do. Thank you.
Chair, if I can answer questions around the the actual performance management framework by saying, let's get some facts on the table. One, this document does fully comply with the AG standard on setting performance targets. Two, you use the word SMART at one point in the conversation. We have, as far as we've been able to at this point in time, determined that these are SMART objectives. They have been pre-audited by our external auditors and signed off on that. But we've also had issues where we've in fact said there isn't a performance indicator, and our target says a key performance indicator or target. So on some of these things where it's a policy review, we've simply said that by March 2012, we must have reviewed our procurement processes. There will be a body of evidence that would support things like that. So where there's a target date, it normally relates to the review of a process or policy or control within the organization. So, and that, I agree, is not necessarily a key performance indicator, but we have indicated in our document that, in fact, in some cases, they are simply targets. We've had to put target dates to things so that we know by that date they're finished. So that, I think, explains at least some of those things. The other question was around the two-year performance contracts. What we've discovered in looking at how we get the turnaround right, we were faced with two challenges. Many of the projects are more than 1 year, and many of the projects require multiple deliveries. And those, so in some of those cases, we said, well, look, this department or this division has got to do a DTT rollout. That's going to take 3 years. So there's a contract that they've contracted for to deliver over a 2 or 3 year period on longer term projects. And we've tried to indicate, so performance management link reward to performance strategy implementation. By this year on that issue, there must be a 2 year performance contract in place. So we can check that Mr. Ndaba has in fact done that. So hopefully that explains how that those slight confusions may have occurred in the document. We have audited this document already. There has been a report produced by external auditors. In some cases, we are amending where these targets are not SMART, and I think there were about 6 or 7 of them in the entire document that we've gone back and recontracted. And I think those were, in fact, put into the performance contract of the individuals. But I'd have to check on that. I'm not making a commitment to it. So, for example, the 13th check policy, justice must complete by the June 2011. It's very simple, straightforward. The board must have a policy in front of it at the remuneration subcommittee, a new policy on the 13th check by June. So we said a key performance indicator, we couldn't come up with one. You know, there's a policy, but is it a good one or a bad one? Well, the board will determine. We simply said your target is a date to have that in front of the board. And many of those were these dates came out of the turnaround strategies, which were in fact just mandated tasks. You had to do this task. There wasn't a clear strategy behind it. It was work that had to be done in terms of the government guarantee and others. To your question around low power transmitters,
it's not low power transmitter.
It's the universal.
It's a master plan to cover the entire country.
Yes.
I refuse today to reduce it to low power transmitters because that's what has been happening. I'm talking about a master plan when South Africa will be covered. Then you can come with your low power, but targeting your master plan. Do you have that?
As a broadcaster, we could answer this question in a number of ways. Is the universal coverage of an SABC signal? Well, between Vivid and DSTV, you have universal coverage of the country. Now, the difficulty we have with that is that there are communities that simply cannot afford those solutions because the solution is about 2,500 rand per household. So the first thing about universal coverage, you would have to say the signal covers the whole of South Africa already. But obviously,
that's a busy. I can take you from KZN. There's no SABC. What do you mean when you are saying your entire car? I'm talking about SABC.
Nothing else.
I don't want to hear anything else. I'm talking about SABC.
On the terrestrial.
I'm from KZN to Z. Oversight. People, they are struggling to get SABC. So you can't tell me about 100% coverage in the country. I'm talking about SABC, the public broadcaster, which keeps your mandate is universal access to the entire country, nothing else. I'm talking from, I can give you a lot of areas, So this 100% they're talking about, I don't know what they're talking about. And I'm not interested. I'm interested in the footprint of SABC Holt.
I was going to say, if you're talking about terrestrial coverage, then we face two big challenges. One, our estimates are that it would take 300 transmitters to cover the known gaps in our network. Our planning problem is that there is not a consensus, there is not a complete census of where people live in this country that allows us to come up with a comprehensive coverage for terrestrial television, which is our mandate. So when we put together the current low-power transmitter plan to cover bits where it is not covered by the existing transmitter network, we thought that to get to about 98% coverage, we would need about 300 transmitters. And we put that stake in the ground and said, if we do that, we'll probably get to about 98%, and we've given ourselves 3 years to do that. But unfortunately, there will be pockets and communities that we don't know about or not aware of. And perhaps our failing is that we don't have a strategy in place to identify all of those communities where we won't be able to cover the 300 transmitters. But at this point in time, you're quite right. There's not a comprehensive plan. These 300 sites, we think, will get us to about 98%. But there's not a comprehensive plan to give universal service, because then we can get into the question about universal access, which is devices. But if those communities were able to afford a transmitter and a decoder, there would be a signal. But clearly that works. If our mandate is terrestrial television, then we don't have a plan. Can I deal with the property thing, about the property structure? I think there are two problems we have. The one is that we've got a lot of buildings and a lot of structures. We run buildings. And there are two organizational problems. The one is, should we have the buildings we're in? And the other one is, are we running them efficiently? The first strategy is to actually put it into a portfolio, saying, these people know how to run property. We've got property, put it into that portfolio while we develop a strategy about what we're going to do with it on the longer term. So that's why it does look a bit about face. We currently have a property strategy that is not explicit. We've not stated exactly what we want to do with our properties. So we want to put everybody in one place so we can run the properties better, we can be a better landlord, we can deal with light bulbs, we can make sure the regions have got running water and working facilities. And the other one is to say, well, what do we need in a digital broadcasting environment in those areas? So what to do with the Western Cape where we've got three sites? Do we only need one? Do we need two? How do we... That would be what the second piece of this is about. Because we do know that once we exit analog facilities, we need significantly fewer facilities than we currently have. And in digital workflows, our facilities are not correctly structured. So... I mean, we started that process a few years ago when we took all the new studios out of Radio Park and put them in the television center, and now we do radio news and radio current affairs from one broadcast unit. And that was a step towards a digital news production environment, where you put all the facilities in one. Now, that space, if you've ever been there, and I know the chairperson has, at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it's not a pleasant working environment. But digital workflows will change that, and the way we have to structure those spaces will change, which is where we say, once we understand what happens with digital a bit better, we'd have to go back and relook at the physical spaces that the SABC occupies. There are, however, some key pressing areas, such as Polokwane, Vishu, the Western Cape, where we can begin to do something else. What we have done initially is we've recognized what properties we will probably not, definitely not need. So we will definitely not need Rocklands Villas down the road. We will definitely not need the spare property in the housing properties in the Northwest. So we recognize another question becomes, what do we do about disposing of those excess properties? And that we've got to follow a proper process. We require proper valuation. All we've done at this point in time is identified them, and we've also identified the size of the opportunity. We have a standing, or authority from Minister Ivy to dispose of certain properties, but not of others. We would want to come with a comprehensive answer to property rather than this, but piecemeal, which is why this one does look about the place, agreed, and unless you understand the context is. Have I covered all of those?
So can I just add on the property? You will all remember that there was a ministerial task team that was appointed to go into SABC. One of the things they raised with us when they came to do a presentation last year was that we need to seriously look at a property strategy because SABC owns a lot of properties, and they had a view that we might not be using them optimally. And as a board, we're quite ready with the process whereby we're going to have dedicated people who are going to really look at this question so that when we come here sometime next year, we may give you an answer as to what is it that we're going to do with those properties and how are we going to approach their matter.
Member Drogen, Mtambi, Ndabeni, Kilian.
Chairperson, I just want clarity on coverage quickly. The CFO said is there a master plan? I just want to just get clarity on that. Are you saying that with the rollout of DTT, that those areas where there's no coverage will be covered? Am I just getting you clear? Just I need a bit of clarity. Maybe I didn't understand you correctly there. Because I just want to know if they will be covered here. I just want some clarity on that one. I'm not too sure if you're saying that they want to be covered and therefore they need to pay for that service. So just give me a little bit more clarity, okay? And then under slide 64, when you talk about 24-hour news channel, I just want clarity. What do you mean there by the intention is to launch, sorry, I just need to read that part. The second last bullet, the intention is to launch on DSTV as part of our initial offering. That means not everybody on DSTV can get that 24-hour channel. Is that what it means? Just clarify on that point. Thank you.
Mtambi?
Chairperson, my question on headcount and the escalating HR costs remain unanswered. Again, I want to make follow-up. Again, the one on the organogram approval still is not yet answered. Maybe I need to, the chairperson, in your opening statement on page 8 of your slides, you said revised operating models and structures developed and then they've been approved by the board, all necessary processes followed. So we wanted you to share with us what processes have you followed.
Thank you, Chair. And you haven't responded to my question on page 44. Yes. Secondly, the question that I asked, come again. Okay. Must I wait for you to finish whatever you process? Thank you. Okay. Now on page, the other question that I asked with relation to what you've just responded to, the property functions and whatever, my concern was that if I'm looking in your template, you are saying you are going to staff the unit, and then later on you adopt the structure. That is where my concern is at. You adopt the strategy, sorry. Whereas you have already put in people. I'm saying I have a concern there because my understanding is that you first develop your strategy, you do whatever you need to do with it, it gets adopted, and then you put people following your strategy to deliver on the mandate that you agreed on in your strategy. Now, in this template, how you have put your things, they indicate, let alone that now I haven't opened it up, you are indicating that you are going to put stuff. Then next year, 2012, you work for adoption. You want me to tell you the page number? Page 53. The second key delivery. You can go through it. Page 53. Page 53. You got it. You've got it. All right. Thank you. And then moving from that one, on the response of one of the actors, when Honorable Magazi asked the question on the retrenchment and whatever process, you mentioned, Honorable Actor, that side, that you, anyway, the people that you have terminated their contracts, the new operational model anyway does not require their approval. If then you can tell me, oh my goodness, sorry. May I approve it? If you can then help me, tell me if that new model has been, I take it that the new model you're talking about is your newly revised organogram. You will correct me, I'm not sure. If it is, I believe that with regards to any program that is going to add to cost, the shareholder must be consulted. Then if you can also clarify that on your strategy, on your new model, and the organogram that you're still going to adopt or that has been adopted, the shareholder has been consulted on. Secondly, it relates to the first one that I asked of the property structure and whatever. Because in one of your slides, again, you talk of contracts that are performance contracts that are going to be developed, two-year performance contract, I think so, that are going to be developed for all persons in your institution or whoever that is relevant. Then if you have put stuff, whereas the strategy has not yet been adopted, what is the performance agreement based on of those people? Thank you.
Okay, then. Honorable Kim.
Yeah. Perhaps I can just help with the property issue and clarify.
We can then, when are you, Honorable Kim?
Sorry.
Thank you. Honorable Kim.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Can I just ask, but it's totally not related to the current question. May I proceed, Chairperson? Okay. I just wanted to ask, if we read the strategy document, and also, and I'm going to refer to your presentation, specifically your slide 23. I made a note next to it. And please, you know, politicians are not always the best financial experts. 23. I just wanted to understand what you are essentially saying is that you have developed your turnaround and you will move towards steadily improving the performance and sort of achieving a balance in the financial books towards the end of the year, and as we move on, you will restore the profitability of the organization. But you also said, if I understand you correctly, that it would help greatly if you don't need to use operational expenditure to fund capital expenditure. Can you perhaps just go back to your slide and just say that I believe that your outside broadcasting units is part of a loan agreement with some other institution, and similarly, obviously your net bank loan repayment
what I understand, you want to go and renegotiate because the organization is in a, on a much better footing, etc. Can you just give us an example of your expectations as far as DTT support from government is concerned with the rollout? Thank you.
You can respond.
I'm going to leave some of the actual issues to Ms. Ndaba. Let me deal with the issue around public value. In our turnaround strategy, we clearly established, and we did some quantitative research about 4 years ago about how the SABC delivers public value. And one of the issues about how it delivered public value was the delivery on its mandate requirements. So when we talk about meeting our public value requirements, part of that measurement is, have you met the hard targets for your mandate delivery in terms of language, education minutes, minority programming, children's programming, and the like? The other one, which is more qualitative, is did those programs actually achieve social outcomes? And we've never got into that issue yet, so we said let's develop exactly how we're going to measure those things. We've done bits and pieces of research over the years, but as part of our market intelligence, we've not actively had a program or series of strategies where we've measured the social outcomes of programs. So if we spend a lot of money on preschool programs, what effect is that having on it? And one of the pieces of research for us, and I deliberately use preschool programming, Chair, is that in terms of our current ICASA mandate, we have to refresh kids' programming every year, but every year there are different three-year-olds. So if the social research says that, you know, if you play this program to every group of three-year-olds, they get the outcomes in terms of learning that they need, you don't need to spend money developing new programming for three-year-olds. Now, it might be that the child is 2 to 4. I mean, it's a hard example of where research and knowledge of outcomes and social outcomes will help us meet our public value delivery and reduce our cost base. Because it's particular to educational programming. The staff movement in property, we currently have a lot of people who work in that area right now. Some of them report into what is called facilities management, and some of them report into what is called engineering services. So the first step is to put them in one place. So if there's a problem with a building, you go to one place to get it fixed. Right now at the SABC, it can be a challenge, and I'll give you an example. If your door doesn't work, is it the lock that's broken? Is it the door that's broken, or is it the door jamb that is stuck? And you will have to go to three different people. You'll have to go to the carpenters to get the door fixed. If the door is swollen because it got wet, you'd have to go to building maintenance to get the frame fixed if that's what's bent, and you'd have to go to engineering services if it was the lock. Well, it's the same model. It was established around a bureaucracy. It worked fine, but it's a bit confusing. So when we say move the people into a property division right now, it's to say, let's put all of these bits and pieces together right now in one place, establish what we're going to do with them going forward, and then restructure. So now we're not looking at hiring 30 people into a property division right now. It's looking at consolidating what we've got so we can have a rational discussion around it. So I think that deals with the issues around property valuation. I just want to go back to, DTT will not give us universal coverage in terms of services. Let's be quite clear about that. The other question was around disability on DTT. Yes, DTT does enable certain expanded services, such as closed captioning for the blind or partially sighted individuals. It will allow multilingual strands on other programming, and it will allow captioning for people who are hearing impaired. The 24-hour launch channel, one of the key outcomes for us was
We actually had planned to launch in April, as you saw in the video, and in our corporate plan. When we got into the actual workflows, we had believed that our studio technology was completed and would enable us to begin broadcasting because the studio was complete. When we got into it, it actually turns out the workflows had not been fully enabled because we didn't actually know the size and impact of what digital news would mean in that process. And that project has been rescoped. We believe we'll be ready in October. Let me be clear about this. It's a free-to-air offering on any platform. So if you are a DSTV subscriber, you will not have to pay any more money to receive this program via that platform. If Vivid were to approach us, obviously the same rules would apply. It is meant to be a feeder for our DTT platform when that launches. So we will build a news offering designed to be free to air. So the overnight news service on SABC2 will probably take this service initially. There will be certain segments of it on SABC3. We don't, for example, know whether in this channel we will have a new morning show and whether that will replace Expresso. Those are the kinds of programming questions people are currently trying to answer. So hopefully that answers the other questions on disability and the 24-hour news channel. And then, Justice, if you can deal with the people and restructuring questions, please.
To deal with this, the organogram is not finalized. The board has still got to discuss the organogram. Then we'll go to the shareholder and say, shareholder, this is the final organogram for this organization. What we have done now is just to create a holding space. We don't renew contracts until we are very clear on what we want. That's it.
Other issues which are remaining, your HR costs are going up, but people are exiting their contract, and so if someone can explain how does that happen, then.
Thanks, Laura. Chairperson, with regards to the employee costs that are going up, while we are busy reorganizing the business, in my earlier presentation, I took the portfolio committee around the assumptions that we have used, and the true increase in our employee cost is really inflation plus 1.5%. As the year goes by and people, after they've performed and they've been assessed, as Mr. Ndaba has presented, they will be granted the increase in that year. And we've been very conservative to say they'll just get inflation plus 1.5%.
Maybe you must explain to Babuuti. We're cutting costs through headcount, but it's still not going down. It's still going up. But it's a major source to cut down costs. But it does not go down. Where exactly are you cutting the cost? Because if you mean headcount is not helping. And it stands does not help because it keeps on going up. But where are you cutting the cost exactly? Because headcount does not seem to be in the space in the air.
You know, we are very, very early in this process. We've only just started. But the objective is obviously to have a headcount that fits the structure. That is the ultimate objective. We've only cut about 7 people or so. How many? And it's not significant. I mean, you know, but it's part of the process, you know. But anyway.
There are major costs in terms of employee costs, which I think people are forgetting. We lost a post-retirement medical aid case last year, which meant a lot of money had to be paid to settle that because the interim board came and just cut without following due process that case. And Bemau took the new board to court. And when we went to court, we lost that case. We had to still continue to cater for those
former SABC employees who have retired. So it was a major cost in terms of the cost that we're supposed to take. And we have since then asked Human Capital Services to ensure that we find a way of moving out of post-retirement medical aid scheme and have an open scheme, which all companies are using now, because SABC is maybe one of the few organizations that still make sure that until you go to your death, you still covered if you've worked for SABC. So I think it will reflect when you go into details that played a major part in terms of those employee costs. And there are other proposals that SCS is working on in terms of addressing the issue of the employee cost. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks. I think in terms of, if you recall, in terms of our budget projections, we had indicated that we are projecting that we will make a saving of about 122 million, which represents a headcount reduction of close to between 19 and 20%. But the budget there and the assumption, if you look at that straight line that says remuneration, Chair, we made a projection on the basis that if we were to keep where we are and make incrementals of CPI plus one only. But in terms of our reduction, we will realize savings in this fiscal of 122 million through headcount reduction. So in that one there just shows you a conservative line of providing for a 7% increase over the next 3 years. However, we will have our savings in terms of our plan on headcount reduction. We will definitely realize that. I think the Chair has answered you in terms of the – and, in fact, by the way, in last year's we have a 5% saving on remuneration overall. There's a difference between operating model and organizational structure, clear distinction. Many people that have faltered in the past and how they bloat their structures is because they build an organizational structure before they know how they must operate, right, which is very, very critical for us to say. If you recall what has happened in the SABC in the past is that as soon as we cut, we then grow either on freelancers or some other, which you grow the first somewhere. That is because people develop org structures without necessarily determining how they should actually operate. That is why we've taken the pain to take 6-7 months developing and entrenching an operating model, which then, on the basis of that, define an org structure, which then says, okay, now that we have an operating model, how do we resource that to create an org structure? And that org structure is before the board as we speak, because if you recall, in terms of the corporate calendar, the board was required to sit today, and it was in the pack for today's board. And once that had happened, then it follows the protocol of going to the minister and so on. And only then you go back to the organization and begin to engage. That is why at this stage we have never engaged in terms of headcount with labor. We have managed to discuss around how we consult on turnaround, then we have signed an agreement on that so that they are on board through the whole change process, which is a first in the SABC as well. Yeah. The one answer on the performance contract, you've asked that what is the basis for the performance. What we've done is we aligned directly to the corporate instruction. In this document that you have in front of you, the corporate plan, the whole corporate plan, you will see that it has a straight line to the MTEF, it has a straight line to our turnaround objective. And that then sees itself in the executive contract, which then are cascaded to the individual employee contract. So you are able to then deliver on your strategy in terms of every individual performance contract, so that you don't have contracts that don't deliver your strategy. So that's exactly what we've done, to say we have these documents, but our performance must be achieving these strategies. Then how do we do that? Ensuring that every individual contract actually aligns to your corporate plan.
follow up on that.
Thank you for ABET. That is why we have yourself here as the politician, so that you come with your expertise and explain these things to us. But going back to your slide 49, going back to your page 49, on your KPI stroke target, and that we could clarify it in a little explanation when I say, you have a two-year performance contract. I'm not sure if EPFMA does not require one-year performance contract, but I see here the AG and all those that you submitted to agreed with it, that you can put this as your target. Secondly, going back to the question that I asked on the flow of the document, the acting CEO tried to explain to me that it is smart at its best, the document. But my concern again, whereas I raised the KPI stroke target issue, I also raised that in your column, you have pages whereby you have put an SO in the first column, then on the second column you put key activity, and then in the others, key deliverables. That's where I said, if you can also assist me to understand what is it, what is the actual format of this template? How do we then, do we say you put your activity, your deliverable, your SO and KPI ending, of which I don't understand why do we say stroke target again? Because target talks to something else and KPI talks to something else. Because what you have put again in terms of the year is the time frame, not the KPI. I go back to that. So I haven't been assisted fair by the explanation. So if I can be schooled again around those matters. Thank you.
We set 113 million as the leave reduction because leave is a huge liability on our balance sheet. Some of these things are not there. I'm just giving an example. So the KPI for the people in human capital resources is that they will reduce the collective leave liability not to exceed 113 million rand. That's a KPI. It's a figure.
You see, the problem here is that I raised this matter sometime last year. Parliament has got Money and Related Procedures Amendment Bill Act, which tell us as Parliament what you must come here to do to us. You see, the acting CEO is talking about PFMA. We're talking about Money and Related Procedures Amendment Bill Act, which guide Parliament how to engage on strategic plans and budgets for departments and entities. Not PFMA. You can comply with the National Treasury, so it's fine. But here, we are not here because of PFMA. We are here of the Money and Related Procedures Amendment Bill, which is an act. Now, you see, then there is a problem. Because it means what you gave here is in relation to PFMA. But what we need here is the details as contained in the legislation I'm talking about, which I read last year, that your company secretary or whoever, they should be able to pick up these things so that when you come and do this presentation, you do in relation to exact legislation we're supposed to deal with and so on. It's a long time. Money and Related Procedures Amendment Bill, but don't be confused by the bill, it's an act. But the bill is still there, but it's an act. That's why you are here, Section 5 of that act, which explains that you come and present a strategic plan, your measurable objectives. Because the member is asking about is saying, if you go to page 48, review of procurement processes, maybe that's what is the third one, but let's take that one. March 2012, March 2013, March 2014. We are also expected to report in terms of your quarterly performance.
what is it which when you want to check you on a quota, we must say as a committee, you have met your quarterly performance which you have given us. It's not yet. So that's why we never understand each other in terms of this question. If the thinking is from PFMA, whereas you are not here on the basis of PFMA, PFMA is part of those things we are here. Now, that's why, you see, the question is very difficult to answer. But the issue is that if you look at that legislation, it will clarify you. Because what we want to know, if you review procurement processes, March 2012, then when the first quarter finishes, what is it you come to report to us, which you must measure that we are on par on your deliverables? It's not here, it's the year. So what must we do? Must I say no, what, not yet in 2012 or in 2011? Then, so that's the issue which is raised, which I don't think you captured it very well the way it is, but that's the matter.
Listen, I think this point you are raising is very important. We're really taking it in, because actually when you read it like this, it doesn't make sense, because it doesn't give you exactly what you'll be measuring on. So we will have to rewrite that. We'll have to rewrite that.
Any follow up from Tammy? No. I would respond around this particular matter, because I think that there's a confusion. You see, from the basis that the acting CEO was responding, it was clear to me that does not understand the act, which is the actual, and necessary for you to come today and so on. So I think there's been a confusion around that particular act.
Yeah.
Follow up from Tammy?
Yeah, it's a follow-up on the question raised by Honorable Clear. Can we go to page 26 of the strategy document? It's on the government guarantee. I think the third paragraph towards the bottom, where it says it's also evident from the analysis of projected 2010-11 and budgeted numbers that the SABC will struggle to meet the government guarantee targets for 2012 to 2013. Then when you move to page 27 on top there, it says the SABC has met the overall profitability targets for the government guarantee, but will struggle to meet the conditions going forward. What is it that this, the overall profitability targets, what is it precisely? We want to understand that based on this statement. I'm raising it because we need to look at the bigger picture here. If there's an indication that we'll be able to afford to pay the loan in terms, but now if come 2012, then how are you going to move forward? Because now you want to renegotiate the loans, but also I want to understand this to say, when you are saying you've met the overall profitability targets, which ones are you actually referring to?
Thank you. Page 82. A paragraph above 4.5, the SABC has not conducted the financial impact of the policy and regulatory framework that is under consideration by the DOC. If you can take me through why not, and why you haven't done that, and what is the plan moving forward? 82, the paragraph above 4.5. Thank you.
Chairperson, the set-top box has been described in a court as a television that throws the spanner into the works completely. You know, we need to drill down on these issues. When we're talking of licensing, what are we talking about? When the PBS came, they said that they would do away with the special tax and so on. You know, all those things muddy the waters, because then the people don't pay. You know, it's very costly to be hiring people to go from house to house. So there are many things implied in this statement. Unfortunately, we should have explained it better. You know. you know, because we're waiting for the PPS to be published. It's not. And the even the ICASA itself, in terms of its regulations, they haven't made key definitions that will determine the cash flows for the SAPC.
If I can deal with the other statements on page 26 and 27. In both cases, we've indicated that when we say perhaps the word shouldn't be struggle, the SABC has set very aggressive targets in terms of this plan. What is going to make it difficult for us to meet those targets is the impact of DTT, which was not considered in the government guarantee and which we have to prepare for right now. So, you know, we need to come back and have a look at what it is we want DTT to deliver. If I can just answer another question, say, around the key deliverable, and I must apologize for it. Both cases on all the documents for Pillar 4 around governance say key activities and all the others say the key deliverables. That's just an oversight. They should have been formatted properly. A different team was looking at a template when they put it together, and they had key activities instead of key deliverables. But the other issues that the chairs put in place.
I've got a note here. I'm told that Jesus Christ will be dying for us and rise again on Monday and so on. I don't understand what does that mean, but I've got a note here.
The presentation on the turnaround strategy by the 18 groups, those lies on the turnaround strategy. This turnaround strategy, our understanding is that it was developed in connection with the government guarantee. The revenue enhancement strategy, as the SABC developed one, and are you implementing it? Secondly, the reduction of costs. I think by now you have identified your main cost driver. So can we get feedback on that also? And then all these other cost-cutting measures that you have undergone, I've raised it initially, this the question that's not yet answered. And it's very keen. And then, can you go to slides, your top 10 and top 16 ones? I think it's slide 11 of your presentation on the turnaround strategy. There you go. The yellow, it says, and I believe these are the issues which these performance agreements that are referred to should have been attached to individuals. That's my understanding. But if you look all there, the progress is the yellow. Progress, projects behind and will catch up. And there are no timelines attached to that. So, as you see, we are very much skeptical on this issue of the two-year performance agreement, because the PFM is very clear on that. It's 1 year, you review annually. So that means if it's a three-term project, still every second year, then you'll put new terms of the contract. But now, you see, you look at this, and then you say, the only project that I see in terms of this project complete is only one on your page 12, on the slide 12, where audience segment and brand position for the SABC. The rest that you have identified, which are very critical in terms of your turnaround strategy, you see, project will be delayed, the other one will be delayed. There's one that will be delayed, I think it's the enhanced contact planning, and because the rest, they are just lagging behind. Which instruments and tools are you having to measure? Because my understanding, your performance contract should have been attached to this, because those are part of the turnaround strategy.
Those are champions. Those are not appointed people in terms of performance contracts. They are people given a task. You will develop develop a new approach to our editorial policy, etc., etc. Now, in terms of the research involved in the particular task, some are faster, some are very slow. You know, I mean, for instance, let me give you an example. You know, content nearly crippled the SABC. Content was a huge hemorrhage. They went out and bought content by the gallons. The dog and its fleas, all of this filled up our you know, storages. Now, we have said platforms, channels, and content must come together so that these two are mutually informing each other. So we've closed down that whole content enterprise, which was an empire for some people to spend money as they chose. Now, these are slow processes, you know, for instance. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight because there are so many alignments that need to be done, you know. So we won't give you, this is not a perfect report. We won't even pretend it's a perfect report. But it's a stage in turning around the organization with very well-defined milestones as we go forward. Where we have signed new performance contracts, it's for people whose terms are not, I mean, whose contracts are not running out, who are still going to be the SABC for some time, 2 years or whatever. Those have had to have new you know, performance contracts so that we can hold them to account in terms of what they deliver. That's just been the basis. Those are dashboards. Where are we? What is going to in the process? You know, it's like in a factory. You know, there's a line which goes fast. You know, you have got your color coding. There's a line which is going slow. You go in and you check what is happening. You know, the Toyota way, Kaizen. That's Kaizen.
you see, before I take follow-ups from members, we are running to 6 o'clock now. They didn't prepare Papa, it's the routine. By the committee section, they assume that we'll be out at 4 or past 4. But can I propose that when it comes to the issue of the government guarantee, we are not going to have a productive discussion because we'll only be engaging on the view of SAPC. There are three parties involved. It's DOC and National Treasury. So I would say when we come to that, we must pack it. When we come back from recess, we'll have a full engagement with all the parties making presentations. It won't be productive for us to try and engage on that one because there is only one view, and we know that view is contested highly in certain quarters and so on. So it won't help. I just wanted to deal with that part so that members don't go deep into that with the understanding that we'll deal with that one separately from the other. Damien?
Thanks, Chair. So doesn't don't intimidate me all so much, please. All right, I asked an explanation of why in the three scenarios that you, yeah, but two of them were not thoroughly explained, and then the third one you went into detail, then I said if you can take us through, but then even if it's not now when you're coming back, you give us that information, and also we will be pleased if we can get an attachment or an extra with your current structure. All right, now that you're having the third thing, what was it? Oh, please. The third thing was, you when you opened the meeting, you spoke of affidavits and whatever, and the honorable board member that side felt like when he was going to make his input, he must respond to it, that he doesn't know it. Maybe it's because he reported it in their presence. The affidavits and whatever correspondence that you were talking about were sent to us, not to the board. So you might know, you might not know. I just wanted you to be clarified on that one. The correspondence is just meant for us. It's sent to parliamentary committee members on portfolio communications. Thanks for now, Chair, until we meet with them after the corrections in the document and the requested annexures. And, yeah, probably, Chair, also if I can add to what you said on the government guarantee, I think it would be advisable that we invite the three stakeholders because we want to also look into the issue of the budget. That's why I am requesting also the current structure and probably the proposed one. Because we don't want to say we agree with your nice tabulated plan, whereas we're not sure if we are going to have money for that or we are going to have the resource personnel to drive the plan. So if you give us both, this is what you plan to do, these are the people that you think that are going to do at this cost, we would appreciate it. Thank you.
I did receive an affidavit and a document from an individual. I sent it to the company secretary who consulted with our lawyers. They wrote me a response, and we have sent the response to the particular individual. That has been done. Probably
the board must not respond to the matter. I was clarifying that the one that you're talking about is the one that is addressed to us. I don't want to understand what's happening on their side. The one that you're talking about is the letter that is sent for the portfolio committee members. Whatever actions that are taking, if we are going to call them, we will call them and hear what they are going to say, if needs be. Thank you.
Honorable Killen,
it is still unclear what the affidavit is about. So if it is addressed to Parliament, I will appreciate it. I think you said at the beginning that you have not distributed to the rest of the committee, but it is clear that it's been distributed to some of the members of the committee, and I think it's just appropriate that we should all receive it. Thank you.
I'm not sure who else is having it, but it's with me. I have not distributed it because I've just received it this morning when we are about to start the committee meeting. So there was no way I should have acted on it today. But parties will get it because it's addressed to the committee, as the member has indicated. And so I don't know whether there's any link between what we are having and what the chairperson was talking about, because I've not even read it, exactly what is the content of that affidavit and so on. But we'll follow the due processes, other parties and other so on then, in taking the matter forward. I will take that members now are satisfied about your report. Acting CEO, you were trying to say something before Member Killen came in.
There were discussions about the revenue enhancement strategies. Some of them in the top 16, but essentially they were the acquisition of content that attracted audiences, the strategy around SABC 3 and news, as well as the changes in PBS radio. Then there were changes to our trading policy. They have already been put in place and executed. There were changes to our pricing policy that have also been put in place and executed. And then there were changes to the way we customer service and debtors collection. And it is that area where we're battling a little bit with debtors collection. And the execution aspect, the customer service aspect, is part of the operating model discussion. So there were those five key strategies to drive it, as well as the sales force efficiency. So with setting targets to people, you will see six customers a day, or whatever the target is.
Thank you. I think we must come to a close because Mandla, Honorable Ntazi.
Me for arriving late thing, and don't worry if I ask questions which has already been asked, but I won't see Jesus dying well if I have not asked this question. What I want to know, on the transmitter roll-up plan, who decides where to go? Who decides Centec where to go? What is the role of the Department of Communication on the decision? I just want to hear that question, sir. only in this. Don't be worried, sorry.
SAPC, who decide when to go?
Chair, we did an analysis of where the needs were, what the largest audiences were, and the actual rollout is decided between the SABC, Centec, and ICASA, because the ICASA has to license. So at the end of the day, when ICASA grants the licenses, those are the ones we submit. It's based, actually, as I said to the chair earlier, there isn't a complete census of where people live. So it's based on the question of first come, first served. As we find them, they've gone onto a list, and that's how we're trying to deal with them. There's no policy approach or favoritism in what we're doing. It is very causalistic about, you know, it's cause and effect. If people have made a complaint, they've gone onto the list, then when we get to them, we get to them. And the actual execution is done in consultation with Centec. And we are, and I think they also do consult with the DRC, but there isn't a policy issue. This has been escalated to national priority, so at some point in time, I think there'd be a proper regulation of how those transmitters have been rolled out. But currently, it's based on discussions with the SABC and Centec.
No, thanks very much. But worth asking, you go and do that plan. We want it from you, because SABC is the one who go to Centec and say we want a transmitter there. Centec does not act without SABC in this case. So you must come with the national master plan, and you must tell us when the country is going to be covered. I will advise that you also engage USASA in relation to the Universal Service Access Fund, so that when necessary they can assist you in terms of rolling out. But we need that plan. I'm sure a discussion around that they will have Centec and USASA in that discussion and DOC and ICASA so that you finalize that. We can continue with the dam fracking rollout, which does not have an ending, when it's going to end and so on. We must be clear around that. So for us, we want it from you. You can contact with the rest stakeholders so that we are clear about the rollout and so on. But thanks very much. I think the only difficulty is that we can't conclude your strategic plans and budgets. But we must put it in the proper context that that does not mean that there's a huge crisis. I think here, again, I will repeat for the second time. Can you strengthen the office which is supposed to advise you as a board, so that when we are called, we know exactly what we are calling for? What is happening for the second time? Not what I raised it last time, I'm raising it again. It can't be that as a board will come here with a document which does not talk to what you're supposed to be here for. There's something wrong with your company secretary's office. Can you sort that issue out, please? It's either she's under given stuff which is maybe less stuff, they can't cope and so on and so on, but it can be, because the company secretary is supposed to advise you as a board in terms of why you are coming here, which legislation is primary to that, which are other subordinate legislation which are coming to that. So because for the second time I raised that issue originally and so on. So if you can try to beef up the office and assist so that you don't come again some other time when you come to do the annual reports, then you come with reports which might not be talking to the actual need of the annual report. But like I'm saying, that it's not a crisis that we can't conclude it because you are doing so bad. It's the issue of aligning, the issue of your key performance indicators and so on, which we hope you'll be able to do that. Because you seem to be having the information, it's just that how do you put it, because the only thing which we are dealing with now is your budget. Don't put too much of your other reports. We want to go to your key priorities or strategic plan in relation to your budget and the other things and so on. So as you rework, as members were indicating, just clarify those things. I know that we don't have time when we come back. We was only one meeting.
the following we are debating. So it's very tight for the committee. And you are the second one, it's Nemisa. It must be you who must come when we come back. So it will be a very tough thing for the members to comprehend with. But my suggestion was that on the 24th of May, if I'm still correct in the date, we're supposed to adopt both the GCIS and DOC reports for the budget. Now, what it means, it might mean that that Tuesday, we might have the TechU and finalize GCIS report, then the following day, Wednesday, then we finalize the communications report. But it's just pressure because we don't have much time. Then 3 days or 5 days, we should be debating. And the report should be followed, its processes and so on. So it's just to go and rework. In terms of what, in a very simple manner, don't be sophisticated. You see, you become sophisticated, we don't understand. We'll ask you too many questions. Just be simple and straightforward, exactly what is it you want to achieve, when, and so on. I've raised the issue of quarterly because we might call you at any time to come and give us your quarterly report. That's what we are required to do also if you look at the act I was talking about. That's not annual, but even quarter, we can call you after a quarter. Can you come us and give your performance in that quarter as you have come and presented to us and so on. So I've seen out of the strategic plan, they went as far as even saying this quarter we're going to achieve this, this quarter we're going to. So it's going to be easy for us when we call them because we know this quarter, what exactly they will be achieving and so on. So it's to deal with those things, but we are mindful of your situation. That we are also having the issue of government guarantees, which are also running its own processes and so on. So it's difficult sometimes to be secret and focused in some of the issues because we are not under a normal condition and so on in terms of your work and so on. But in overall, the survey by IEC, it's saying 74% of South Africans, they do have a trust in you. More than other institutions, which I can't mention, and political parties, where they fare in terms of percentages and so on. So it will seem you are doing a good work somewhere. Just comply with the requirement of which we need, Chairperson.
Probably we should give you our bank account so that you can see what money is flowing. No.
I'm just. I'm sure because we might be here for another hour. It has been a long afternoon. So we tentatively will meet you on the 24th of May. But please, we make this appeal. DOC is here. Can we make sure when we meet you? We have ironed out all the outstanding issues with DOC, the approval of processes and so on, because it gives you time to do that. So that by the time we meet, there are no outstanding issues which still need to be referred somewhere, whether upward referral, whether downward referral, or whatever referral, horizontal, vertical, whatever, that you deal with all your referrals. When we meet 24 May, we deal with a clean document which has went through its processes and so on and so on. I'm starting 24 May members because they were not allowed to have any special meetings in between until we come back from the election. So we will be out for election. Until we finish election, then we can start committee work again. I've tried. Believe me, it's difficult to get any concession around that. We are done.